go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. This way. I'm not sick, so therefore I'm behind the mic. This is the horn. And it is this is the horn for the third day of July 2020. Hi, I'm Bob. It is the front end of our Independence Day holiday weekend. And because I'm a little ray of fucking sunshine, a reason to ask if this will be our last one. If Donald Trump is still the president by this time next year, the experiment will be over, and the experiment will have been a failure. And, of course, the pandemic plays into it as well. And like, hey, well, great, Bob. We're so glad you decided to do a show this evening. What a little bundle of joy you are.
I know.
Well, like I said, the program's live, and if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place when this program is live, I heartily invite you to run over to headon.live, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you never have before, and immediately find yourself greeted by the likes of Anatole and Dowhead and Otto DeShot and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky in California, and of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who is taking a hiatus from folding space, even though he's a Third Stage Guild navigator, and remaining in the cool confines of the house where he is Sparky and not Man Cave. Yeah, let's see, I did the hi, I'm Bob part. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and so with that in mind, thanks go out for this third day of the month to our third day of the month subscribers. That means thanks going out to Gene and Ann across the pond, News Ninja Gene. Thanks going out to Steven. Thank you to John, and thank you to Janice. Thank you all very much indeed for being partial sponsors of the program, because you're what makes the program possible. Now, this is going to be a bear of a month. There's no getting around it. And we have a $275 fundraising goal for the evening. And I've got a note. I've got a note coming in from Dave, number 11. Steve in New York, oh, dear, dear Bob, because I'm live. I warned you, I'm now speaking in tongues as the goddess of irony speaks through me. Bruga, bruga, gunga, galunga, gunga, gunga, galunga. Translation, she will not provide her veil of protection because she arth angered at ye. Yeah, but I've been working outside all day, Steve, and the opportunity arose, and I can't stand not to do this. So that's how it plays out, and hopefully she'll just take mercy on me. But we begin the program with a note from Dave, number 11. This goes out to the overnight crew. This is a holiday episode of The Horn with Bob Kincaid, and that turns this broadcast into a podcast for many people. Dave, number 11, says you podcasters get off too easy. I challenge you to put up a dollar for each of the six Kincaid verbs I have chronicled below. Each of these words have been used to better illustrate the condition created when COVIDiots refuse to engage in social distancing. Grabbelatin', smolikin', larpin', globber, waller, tosslin'. Here's a sample of correct usage. The COVIDiots were grabbelating, smollicking, and larping all over one another. It was butthole to belly button. So that's six little dollar bills, Dave suggests. Head over to headon.live, click the contribute link, and help the Horn family get even on the fundraising. As for you live listeners, the 99 of 100 who don't contribute to the show need to take the observance of Independence Day a little more seriously. Send in your $6 bill. That's the price of a pack of camellias at the fireworks booth. If you don't have a $6 bill, a 5 and a 1 will work. Or use the PayPal button. Support independent ad-free radio. Thank you, Dave. That is really, really kind of you. And I sincerely appreciate the put your money where your speakers are kind of challenge that this is. And I thank you very kindly indeed. So hopefully we can knock all that down, start afresh come Monday, and see where the conversation takes us. And Dave got us started, and there it is. The first of the verb challenge contributions. Grabbelating, smollicking, larping, globber, wallard, and tosslin. Mm-hmm. Just gives me the creeps, seeing those in print and reading them and thinking about this holiday weekend when the maggots will be doing all of those with extreme prejudice. So we'll see what happens. But at any rate, that takes us down to $269. Thanks for getting us started, Dave. And it has been an absolutely gorgeous day here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Cold Trump Junior Stan. Even as I speak here in the fabulous Horn Studios, it is 84 degrees. And so naked radio is the order of the day. And we'll see what happens. But it's right warm. Steve, in New York, high priest of the goddess of irony, says she will forgiveth thee with the sacrifice of just one rubber chicken she originally wanted four, or you could just wear a duck on your head. Well, it's either a duck on my head or a guy on a duck's under a duck's ass. I mean, it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? But things are shaping up for the Independence Day feast. It'll be going on all weekend long. The brisket is in the brine with my 11 or 912 or what the hell number it is, herbs and spices and salt. And I've got the salmon. I've been consulting with Brother Deacon Asa on it. We're going to have two styles of salmon here. They're getting dry cured, dry brined. Brine technically means salt water, so I'd prefer to say dry cured. One of them, one hunk, will be tarragon and dill with black pepper and lemon. The other hunk is going to be Caribbean jerk with an orange glaze right at the end of the smoking process. How do you brine something, Randy in PA asks, without a fridge? Ice chest. Really good, well-insulated ice chest. And once the little sucker's all covered in the salt and sugar mixture, you just put it on ice and put ice on it on top of it and leave it go. So that's how that works. Thank you to Clarence for jumping in on fundraising. So let's see, that takes us now to 244 bucks. 244 to finish the week. Thank you, Clarence. Maybe we'll knock this out. Now, what all? So anyway, that's the two salmon flavors. The brisket, going to make homemade barbecue sauce. Break in the new propane burner for outside cooking purposes. Maybe even put up my canopy now that it's getting real nice and hot. I've got some spikes to nail it into the dirt so it won't get blown away immediately. There's going to be a pasta salad and potato salad. And, yes, check this out. I bought a whole bunch, because they were just good price, a whole bunch of the big jalapenos, split them in two, scrape them out, and I'm gonna fill them with a mixture of cheese and cream cheese and pimentos and crab meat and smoke them ever so slowly over the remains of the salmon fire. I told Agnes I'm even thinking about deviled eggs. And, you know, there'll be plenty for us, and then I'll take it around to family and then share it with friends as well. And, yeah, hopefully make the holiday a little bit more festive in the midst of a decidedly unfestive time. I got to thinking, back to my high school French, Flavio can check in with me if he doesn't mind, because I know he's there. Flavio says, you're warm, try lacrosse. 87 degrees, 30 Celsius, feels like 100 degrees, 38 Celsius. Somehow 38 Celsius just doesn't feel, seems so damn hot. But yeah, I got that. But Flavio, I think you missed the point. It's 84 in the studio with the air conditioner going hell-bent for leather. Because, again, the studio is south-facing with a lot of glass. What it is outside is substantially more. Here, let's find out exactly how substantially. Okay, not substantially, but 88. It's 88 outside, 84 in here. Phew. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to a fun holiday weekend. I'm going to take a break from my holidaying tomorrow evening and join Tara Devlin for Tara Buster. Looking forward to that as well. We always have a good time when we sit down and chat. So I think that that's pretty much everything. And I found, oh, by the way, it's Friday on the front porch. We had a front porch yesterday evening, but we'll have another one this evening. If you would like to participate, just toddle on over to headon.live. There's a big button at the top of the page that makes joining the Skype group super-duper easy. Go ahead and do that now. Stop telling us what to do and when to do it, Bob. Well, now you got to if you want to participate. Go on over and press the button, get carried into the Skype group, and we'll start the conversation here in fairly short order. Over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves. Wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather every Friday, and wherein Sparky sits at the head of same. It'll be a rousing conversation, because there's plenty to get into this evening. Where to begin? Well, this is what I'm thinking, or what I noticed earlier today. I'm out there fooling around with my outdoor table and prepping and cooking and everything, and every so often I have to come in and I sit down in the studio and just browse the news as it's rolling across. And I remember, I know what I was going to ask Flavio. The French word for summer. Is that été, E-T-E, été, as in l'été? Because I was thinking, maybe I'm wrong, but I was thinking of a name for what this summer is. Because, you know, this was I had plans. We were gonna do a lot of really cool, fun stuff. One of the things I really, really wanted to do, because I've wanted to do it for a very long time, is take the grandkids to Washington, D.C. Let them see all the monuments and the Smithsonian and the National Zoo, maybe spend a day at a water park or something. that ain't going to happen. I was going to try to do a beach getaway for about a month and broadcast live like Monday through Thursday and then every weekend be a long weekend with the fam. Nope, that ain't happening. And on top of it all, this godforsaken pandemic that has fucked everything sideways. And so remembering my high school French, I wasn't certain, and Otto Deschott tells me, yes, l'été. So the phrase I came up with was l'été Trieste. And I think Trieste means sad, because I know triste means sad in Espanol. Specifically because I know about a part of Mexican history called La Noche Triste. I know, my pronunciation sucks. So, l'été triste, the sad summer. But we can be happier because we're together. And so we've got that going on. And that helps a lot. And Charlene just helped a lot. We're down to 221 to go for the evening. And so that means we got $21 to finish up yesterday. Awesome. So, yep, there it is. Ete. Thank you, Randy and PA. There's one kind of lead-ish story that I've got in mind. A couple, and there's a competing one. The Supreme Court fucked us again today, because fucking America is what the Supreme Court does best. More often than not, the Supreme Court gets shit desperately wrong, and well, this is another one of them. Then of course there's always the Trump pandemic. Lou with a note: if it's taking a week to get results, that means these infections were occurring over a week ago. A week plus, perhaps a few days, to experience some symptoms, so reactions, if there are any, to these warnings we're getting won't kick in for at least another week at best. Which means, as Paul from Parts Unknown pointed out last night, bad times coming. Bad and getting worse. Oh, that's nice. Jack with a note. Thank you. I tuned in about 5 minutes after the hour. At 13 minutes after the hour, you said it was Friday. Yes, then Jack could relax, because before that, my memory couldn't match it well enough with Thursday. I really needed a show, seeing as a sunny noonish time turning into a dark, rainy storm a couple of hours ago. This is the nicest stretch of unrainy weather we've had all year. So you're welcome, Jack, and thank you. You've been a friend of the program for a very long time and a member of this community. So we got pandemic numbers that are through the roof of the funeral home. And we've got a fucking from the Supreme Court. And then this. I remember long ago when I was bad at math. I'm still bad at math, but I was bad at math and trying to learn it. There was something called the additive property of mathematics, or some such shit as that, wherein, well, basically addition. I can't even explain it. But I saw an example of it in a pair of news stories. And both of them come from programming today on MSNBC. Let's work chronologically. And as such, a conversation on my filthy morning habit with Tom Rogers, who has a theory. And it is a terrifying one, of how Donald Trump may stay president even if he loses. Even if he is roundly and soundly rejected by the voters, there may be a plan there to keep him president. And rather than trying to go through the details of it all, let's just go to the clip. It's all the interview was based on an op-ed published in Newsweek by Tim Wirth and Tom Rogers, how Trump could lose the election and still remain president.
Now, editor-at-large for Newsweek, former Capitol Hill Committee Counsel, founder of CNBC, and now executive chairman of Engine Media, Tom Rogers, plus former U.S. Senator Tim Wirth of Colorado. Together, they have a new piece out in Newsweek entitled, How Trump Could Lose the Election and Still Remain President.
All right, Tom.
Okay.
Explain it to us. How could that happen?
Well, Joe, you've been saying he's not running like he wants to win, and one possibility is he just drops out of the race. The other one that the senator and I looked at is he knows he's going to lose, but he's going to hold on to office. Now, that may sound really far-fetched, but this is how it happens. So Biden wins. I don't just mean the popular vote. He wins the key swing states. He wins the Electoral College. But President Trump says there's been a Chinese interference in the election. He's been talking about Biden soft on China. China wanted Biden to win. So he says a national emergency. The Chinese have intervened in the election. Why do I think that's real? Well, just 10 days ago, he actually tweeted, rigged 2020 election. Millions of mail-in ballots will be printed by foreign countries. It will be the scandal of our times. So he's laying the groundwork for this. So he does an investigation, and Barr backs this up with all kinds of legal opinions about emergency powers that the president has that Ed Luce yesterday on your show talked about. And then what happens is it's all geared toward December 14th. Why December 14th? Well, that's the deadline when the electors of the states have to be chosen. Why is that key? Because that's what the Supreme Court used in Bush v. Gore to cut off the Florida counting. So they keep this national emergency investigation going through December 14th. Biden, of course, challenges this in the court, says, hey, won these states. I want the electors that favor me named. The Supreme Court this time doesn't throw the election to the Republicans as it did in 2000, but instead it says, look, there's a deadline here. If these electors can't be certified in these states because of this investigation going on, there's a constitutional process for this. What's the constitutional process? It goes to the House of Representatives. Everybody says, well, that's good. Nancy Pelosi, Democrats control the House. But no, when a presidential election is thrown into the House of Representatives under the Constitution, it's state by state vote. Each state gets one vote based on the number of Republicans and Democrats in that delegation. What happens then? Today, the Republicans control the House on that kind of vote, 26 to 23, with one delegation. Pennsylvania split. Even if Pennsylvania was to elect a Democratic delegation come this new election, because it's the new Congress that votes here, it would be 26-24 Republicans, and Trump retains the presidency. It is not so far-fetched. He is planning to do this.
Got that? It is terrifyingly possible. Terrifyingly possible. So that's element one of this additive property of journalism. And that was this morning. A little bit later in the day, Ali Velshi, also at MSNBC, had on noted xenophobic bigot and racist Peter Navarro, the White House economic advisor on trade. Now, you heard in the clip from Tom Rogers in which he talked about the possibility of him declaring a national emergency because of some perceived interference by the Chinese. Well, I heard that clip this morning, and then I saw this clip, and it sure does feel like a hell of a setup. A hell of a setup indeed. Because everything Peter Navarro says, batshit crazy as it is, or maybe bat piss crazy under the circumstances, lays the groundwork almost as if it was, as if this whole thing was scripted.
Tell me where we are on this right now.
Let me explain what I said. What I said was that any trust of the Chinese Communist Party is over because of their behavior, not just in coming here to sign a trade deal without telling us there was a virus and a pandemic afoot, but also everything that has transpired since. And Ali, I was watching the show a little earlier, and I saw those scenes of the ghost towns on the beaches in my home state of California. It just breaks my heart to see that. And what breaks my heart also is what you talked about, which is the partisan nature now of the debate over this whole pandemic. And what we have is...
Now, notice he frames this as if Ali Velshi is the one who brought the issue up. Ali Velshi didn't. And what's this about ghost towns on beaches? An empty beach is not a ghost town. It's just a beach. It is a beach as beaches have been since the dawn of time. Ghost towns. Yeah. Okie dokie. Oh, and thank you, by the way, to Jude. We're down to 211. And we're down to 201, thanks to Jerry and Shelley. Thank you so much. So we're going to go on with this clip and see just exactly how they're framing this. I mean, it's July now. I've asked the question many times before, how much more damage can this misanthrope, this monster, this addled sack of sin and adipose tissue make things before he's gone? Because this is all kind of a counter to the happy talk that has been offered in recent days of people saying, well, you know, he's going to face such a bad beating that he'll just quit and drop out of the race. I don't see that happening. I just don't. But with that clip from Morning Joe with Tom Rogers, and then this from Peter Navarro, it's reason enough to get a rousing case of the creeps.
Is Americans angry about being locked down, anxious about their economic future, and fearful of getting the virus. And we are a house divided now with Democrats blaming Republicans, Republicans blaming Democrats. I want everybody right here today, the day before America's Independence Day, to understand where this virus started with the Chinese Communist Party that is making us stay locked in our homes.
You got that? This virus started with the Chinese Communist Party. That is 200-proof bullshit. It is absolutely wrong and not even remotely close to factual. It's not even the same zip code as factual. It is a paranoid raving from a raving paranoid in the form of Peter Navarro.
Lose our jobs. They spawned the virus. They hid the virus. They sent hundreds of thousands of Chinese nationals over here to seed and spread the virus.
At this point in time, he's describing an act of chemical warfare, or biological warfare, I should say. They spawned the virus, they seeded the virus, and they sent thousands of Chinese nationals over here to bring it to us. Now, again, this is all simply not true. There is not a shred of evidence. There is not a scintilla juris of evidence that suggests that anything like this is even anywhere at all factual. But he just spews it because getting this paranoia out and letting it circulate is his purpose. And if you wanted to make what Tom Rogers said come true, this would be exactly how you do it.
Before we knew. And Peter, my point is simply
who are the hundreds of thousands of Chinese nationals? What are you talking about?
So the dateline is November. They spawned the virus, probably came out of the biological lab. For 2 months, they...
No, it didn't. But the neat thing about conspiracy theories is the fact that you can't prove the conspiracy only makes the conspiracy theory itself stronger. And we've got fully a third of the people of the United States of America who like their answer, they like their answers simple and yet devious. And of course, there's a long racist tradition in this country of believing Asian people to be untrustworthy and inscrutable. And this plays neatly into the paranoid fantasies of fully one-third of the electorate of the United States of America. And we've talked about that in the past, how if you start at zero, it's harder than starting at 33%. And as Stephen New York notes, this is all straight out of the Goebbels playbook. And it is the big lie. You tell the big lie enough, and people will eventually begin to believe it. And all those Chinese nationals that came here, they came here largely doing business. But there's another thing tucked away here, too. Did you notice he said probably November? Well, November, we now know, is when the medical intel unit of the DIA first briefed the Pentagon and the White House that there was an epidemic out of control in China, which, as we've gone over this timeline, which means that intel had to have been gathered sometime around late October. But then again, there was a news story a couple of weeks ago, or within the last 2 weeks, in which Spanish researchers discovered COVID particles in samples in Spain as far back as early 2019. And then, of course, there's also the fact that the worst of the spread of this disease came not from Chinese nationals, but instead came from travelers coming from Europe into the United States. You know, those nice white countries of which Clorox Claudius is so fond. But let's continue to let Peter Navarro set this stage.
We hid the virus from the world and the possibility of a pandemic behind the shield of the World Health Organization. While they did that, they vacuumed up the world's protective equipment, including 2 billion masks. And
so you're saying this is deliberate. You're saying the Chinese deliberately did this?
Here's the point. While they were preventing any domestic travel from Wuhan to Beijing or Shanghai, locking down their transportation network, they freely sent hundreds of thousands of Chinese nationals on aircraft to go around the world, and that the effective.
But are you saying they deliberately did this? Is that what you're saying, Peter?
It's unfair.
I mean, nobody's going to accuse you of being a fan of China, but do you believe they did this deliberately? They spawned a virus. You're using the term spawned a virus. Do you mean they deliberately created a virus and then deliberately set up the conditions?
Let me be really clear about this. I don't think it matters whether they did what they deliberately did, Ali, and this is beyond reproach in terms of a fact. They deliberately allowed Chinese nationals to come to the United States, Italy, and everywhere in between who were infected while they were locking down their own transportation network. And I think it's really important for Americans to understand that. We are angry at each other
now.
What
do you mean deliberately, Peter?
Hang on. Do we realize how dangerous this mad babble is? This is the stuff out of which world wars are made. If Europe could go apeshit over the assassination of an archduke in 1914, what of this? And no, they didn't buy up all the masks. They had all the production capacity for the masks, because we found it so much simpler to have things made by children chained to tables in Guangdong Free Trade Province than to have American workers with good jobs doing that kind of thing. Well, exactly. Stephen, New York says, more Goebbels, Bob. He didn't say they did it intentionally, but he's saying they did it intentionally. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I don't think I got a note here from Clarence. I was driving my big rig southbound on I-95 in North Carolina this morning. The traffic was heavy with tags from every mid-Atlantic state. Once I got into South Carolina, heavy traffic started going east to Myrtle Beach, too. People are headed to all the beaches in the Carolinas, Georgia, and Florida. I think in 2 weeks the infection will increase to insane numbers. We need a mandatory national shutdown with every state on the same page. Well, remember, a couple of nights ago? We had the story out of Myrtle Beach saying, hey, every hotel we have is going to be booked. This is our big weekend for the year. There's basically three big holiday weekends for any beach community in the Northern Hemisphere: Memorial Day, Independence Day, and Labor Day. Memorial Day marks the kickoff. Independence Day marks the time when they shut the water off to the super slide. And then Independence Day is just huge. And so it matters not if it's Nag's Head, Myrtle Beach, the Barrier Islands of Georgia, Jacksonville Beach, Daytona Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Miami Beach. They are all now viral centers, vectors of disease. And Clarence saying, "We're all screwed, Bob," engaging in some gimmick infringement with Scott from Scott in San Diego. It's true. And so people with reasonable intelligence, that means people who aren't maggots, the only thing we can do is double down on our preparedness and our protectedness. I'm not trying to create any panic buying, but if you can go out and get a good supply of gloves and lay in a supply of masks, it will be to your benefit to do so. Because as Hunter S. Thompson said, big darkness soon come. Silent R. Lamar says, thank God I had no hair to pull out. Dear Brother Bob, if the Chinese created the COVID, then why was it the old and the blacks dying instead of the Chinese carriers? Since the Trump followers hate the blacks so much, then why would they complain about the COVID-19? Why were they not saying the bulk of the sick are Chinese nationals? Again, how stupid do they think the American non-Trump followers are, Bob? They don't necessarily think we're stupid, Silent R. They don't care, because a plurality of 33% is enough to wreck any polity. Any polity.
I just want to understand deliberately that you think they sent people who they knew were infected to Italy and the United States and other places. You mentioned hundreds of thousands. Do you believe that actually happened?
Let's be careful and clear with the words. What they did during this period of time when they knew there was a pandemic, they didn't allow their people to travel inside of China, but they allowed people in China who were likely infected to go around the world, effectively seeding and spreading. So whether it was done intentionally or not, what was intentional is to protect their country, even as they sent Chinese nationals out.
So the Chinese were intelligent enough to lock down and try to limit the spread, and it's the Chinese fault that we weren't. It's the fault of the Chinese Communist Party that Greg Abbott in Texas opened Texas, flung the barn doors open on May the 1st. It's the fault of the Chinese Communist Party that Brian Kemp, who shouldn't even be governor of Georgia, said, we got to open the tattoo parlors and the nail salons and the bowling alleys. That's the fault of the Chinese Communist Party. It's the fault of the Chinese Communist Party that white supremacist adjacent illegitimate Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, who only became governor of Florida with the help of real live actual Nazis. It's their fault that he was as dilatory as he was. It's the fault of the Chinese Communist Party that Donald Trump imposed a weak and limited travel ban on China, but dithered and dillied and dallied with regard to travel from Europe, from whence came the explosion of cases in New York. Peter Navarro is a psychopathic liar, but he has an agenda. And if you take this in conjunction with what Tom Rogers said on Morning Joe, it is as though a road before us is emerging from a dense fog.
Americans
have to understand that.
Let me ask you this.
Do you disagree with that, Alan?
Yeah, let me ask you this, though.
Do you disagree with that as a fact?
I'm going to put that aside for a second. I don't know what I don't know, but here's what I'm going to ask you. Let's say that's true, that those people, those hundreds of thousands that you say went out, went to Italy, they went to the United States, they went all over the world. Why is our new death, our new disease count, our new infection count so much higher on a seven-day rolling basis than anywhere else in the world? At what point does that become our problem to contain this virus when every other country has been able to?
That's a very interesting question, and it goes to the origins of the virus. Now,
No, it doesn't. It goes to how we handled it. In terms of total confirmed cases, well, we're number one. USA, USA, Brazil, 2, Russia, 3, India, 4, Peru, 5, Chile, 6, the UK, 7, Spain, 8, Italy, 9, Mexico, 10, Iran, 11, Pakistan, 12, France, 13, Turkey, 14, Saudi Arabia, 15, Germany, 16, South Africa, 17, Bangladesh, 18, Canada, 19, Colombia, 20, Qatar, 21, China, 22. That ain't China's doing. And in point of fact, while he wants to talk about labs in Wuhan, the fact of the matter is there have been NGOs who have been warning about the potential for pandemics arising out of the wet markets of Asia for 20 years. Even before SARS, they were warning, and then it happened. And then nothing really was done about the conditions under which these things arose. And they said, it's going to happen again, and it's only going to be worse. And here we are. But if you want to seed, to use the term that Peter Navarro did, if you want to seed the country with a paranoid conspiracy theory so that later on this 21st century Cataline can declare a national emergency and keep himself in office, because he must if he wishes not to go to prison. I mean, have you seen that photograph of Donald Trump literally kissing the cheek of Jeffrey Epstein? Yeah, saw that several times today. But if you want to do all that, this is how you start it. You send a guy out in a tailored suit with a red tie who looks like a serious man of business, and let him start pouring poison into the ears of America. Now, Ali Vell, she does some decent work. But at some point in time, don't you say enough? If you're Ali Velshi, don't you look at Peter Navarro and say, you're crazier than a sprayed roach. Get off my air. Never darken the lens of one of our cameras again, because you're engaging in something that is false, treasonous, and deadly. Don't you do that? And if you don't, why don't you? Because even by having him on, whatever value this may have, even by having him on, you have lent him the imprimatur of relevance, expertise, and authenticity. And so when I saw those two clips, a chill ran down my spine. And whether it does with you is entirely based upon whether or not you think that Donald Trump is capable of doing something that calculatedly evil. Or whether you think someone inside his coven is capable of coming up with something like that. Say maybe an Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I think probably the most important thing we can do with this kind of information is to point out that it's there. And to point out how absolutely toxic it is. Kyle with a note says, who gives a flying fuck where the damn thing came from? We still fucking failed to contain it. Jesus Christ. All caps. I know. But that's what they need. That's what they need the maggots to keep their mind on. The email that you just got where the person said we need a national shutdown. Sorry, I don't remember the name. This is Steve in New York. Anyone not think Trump is a Manchurian candidate? That this is not completely unintentional? That Trump is not a Russian agent? That Trump is not creating chaos to sound the American death knell, pick it apart, and vacuum up the carrion? It's entirely possible. So that, by way of a topic that we can sink our teeth into getting started, this as well. As I've noted repeatedly over the last few days, with Corona Caligula headed to Mount Rushmore, Jude in the Great Northwest says, Mount Rushmore, the pandemic, Trump, and his ilk. My God, the potential for forest fires, Bob. Yet the key, poisoning, literally, the native sacred soil in a manner that may have the elders spiritually return in full warrior readiness. Because let's remember, since there's going to be a lot of talk about Mount Rushmore, let's remember that the man who sculpted Mount Rushmore and who also sculpted Stone Mountain in Georgia, let's recall that he was an unabashed, unashamed, avowed racist and anti-Semite. Just was. That's who he is. And so a meme was circulating today that suggested that Trump be added to Mount Rushmore. If you're looking at it, immediately to the left of George Washington. You know, if anybody deserves, if there should be a president added to Mount Rushmore, well, I'm sure the old guard Republicans would say it would have to be old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. I take a different attitude toward that. It should be FDR. Did more to save more American lives than any other president in our history. And among other things, saved capitalism in the process. Jude, adding, with regard to the trip to Mount Rushmore, where, remember, Kristi Noem, the woman who wants to get a pandemic started in Indian country, maggot that she is. She said there will be no social distancing at Mount Rushmore this evening. And so Jude adds, hearing of Trump's blatant disregard for our Native American brothers and sisters by intruding onto sacred soil, specifically Mount Rushmore, is unbelievable, and notably during a pandemic, it's a flooding vastness of memories such as smallpox pandemic for the First Peoples that pierces. Let me name this for what it is. Treacherous behavior. Yet the range of his intentional disregard has no limits, and we are totally aware that Trump is used to a great degree as a prop. Is this intentional? Introducing into this culture yet another disease? My sense is Trump has no ability to understand of what the United States perpetrated against the First Peoples. I ponder with great trepidation whose idea this was. Stephen Miller rises to the top. Cream rises to the top, but so does scum. And Stephen Miller is certainly scum. One of my grandsons is the great-nephew of Leonard Peltier, Jude continues. So the interconnectedness of all that has and is to occur resides within my family on a deep level. There are moments when I walk in shame at a brokenheartedness as to the myriad injustices that consistently plague our country. The land of the free, the home of the brave, I reflect on this enshrined statement. Yet each year, as we are presented with increasing horrendous acts focused on our fellow Americans who would never condone or in any level understand an SS tattoo of a police officer or a child walking to home enjoying Skittles murdered or a young woman sleeping in her own bed riddled with bullets murdered. A father executed by being, for God's sake, by being torturously knelt on, the intensity spins my being on every level into a realm of insanity. For this day and time, I'm having to bring to my forefront the trail of tears, unbearable to grasp, but we must. This is why we collectively are listening to the direction one is called to be a connective link for the groundwork of change, placing one's body onto the gears of the machine. There's no way back. And you know, Abraham Lincoln, in his Gettysburg Address, said, he noted the question of whether this nation or any nation so conceived can long stand. And here we are. And we will have an answer to that question. In 4 months' time. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. Thank you for all you do with Women Standing. Thank you for all you do to help keep the horn on the air. And thank you for the quality and sincerity of your good spirit. The picture of Trump kissing Jeffrey Epstein on the cheek. Steve tells me that was a photoshopped thing, so thanks for letting me know. As to the paranoid ravings of Peter Navarro, Lee in New York says, flew on you. If we knew it was a planned attack, we would have made 15 cases quickly go down to zero. Since we did not act that way, it proves that the premise is false. I can't imagine that any of us are going to want to partake of it, but the only broadcast outlet that's carrying Trump's Mount Rushmore Coronapalooza is C-SPAN. Yeah, in many ways, indeed. Joey asks, doesn't Christie numb brains of South Dakota remind you of Michelle Bachmann? Yeah, she does. She does. And that does not bode well. And let's see. We were at 201. Ralph's just took us down to 195. Thank you, Ralph's. And then Joey. Joey just took us down to 95, which is awesome. Thank you, Joey. National Anthem, Randy in PA says, "Over the land of the wage slaves and the home of the scared shitless soccer moms. Play ball!" Yeah. Thanks, Randy. You know, we can look at some pretty bleak things and still figure out a way, even if it's gallows humor, to find some humor. James in Illinois pointed out, yeah, FDR saved capitalism, and the capitalists never forgave him for it. Traitor to his class, he was called. Lee, on the other hand, says, I want Trump on Mount Rushmore. Not his image. Just keep him there. Yeah, maybe hollow him out a little cave in Lincoln's nose and let him live there like the booger that he is. You can put Ted Cruz in the other one and he can try to eat him. Well, we made it through the dinner hour in the Eastern time zone, but we're only 2 minutes into the dinner hour in the Central time zone. And, well, y'all can just forget about it now. Sorry about that. Happens. All right. Silent R. Lamar says, duck Trump followers. All I have to say is the Trump followers never learned that it was a Republican who spoke to Trump to let a ship leave Japan and come to America and directed to Washington State when the southern state refused to allow them to land in a red state. That happened. That happened. Darlene letting me know that Peter Navarro is getting some pushback. Peter Navarro is a lunatic. Trump advisor roasted for insane MSNBC interview over at Raw Story. Phil Platt. Holy crap. This guy is the White House Director of Trade and Manufacturing Policy as well as assistant to the president. And here he is either blatantly and brazenly lying or just spewing bat guano brain melty conspiracy garbage that's already been thoroughly disproven. Yeah, but it's the poo flinging monkey theory. Keep flinging it, and some of it'll stick to the walls. But it's not as simple, I don't think, as that dichotomy presents it. That he's either nuts or he's a liar. What if he's advancing the front end of a plan? What if? What if? And so that's the first hour of this Friday on the Front Porch. Let's run over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
I saw that Navarro story on MSNBC.
Yeah.
I was searching for my TV brick to throw up my computer screen.
Yeah, your rubber brick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those, go and get me the Elvis gun. And bring me a peanut butter and banana sandwich. I'm a-shooting the TV.
I just shut it off. I said, fuck you. Shut it off.
No. But what if this is part of their plan?
Well, it could be. I don't think I don't think like you.
I don't like to. But sometimes it just happens.
Steve, turn off the camera. There we go. Thank you. He had to yell at us. Silent yell.
Hey, I'm hearing an echo. Sparkle.
Yeah, I'm hearing it. I don't know what to do about it.
Usually it resolves unless somebody's got a speaker on instead of headphones.
Yeah, but that's not me.
Nor I.
I don't know who started the call today. It wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Wasn't me.
I waited for your
cue.
I think the echo's gone away on my end.
Sometimes I swear it's Skype, and the algorithms or whatever just have to catch up. Okay, well I hear someone standing in the wind.
Steve, you didn't mute.
Ah.
Steve in New York.
Well, let's check in with Steve from Georgistan.
Hey, Bob. Sorry about the dead air, man. I'm trying to multitask here. How you doing, my friend?
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Hey, Steve.
You know,
hey, Steve.
When I got your note saying, "Hey, raw dog,"
I knew you knew who it was from, man.
Are you gonna?
That's code.
are you gonna do a show? Are you just gonna drown yourself in martinis? Yeah, I knew then I had to show up because everybody, yeah, well, he's just drinking martinis. Now,
that was funny with you, bro.
I got a lot of Henry's olives pitted, so I'm ready.
I figure you're just going to soak your way in martinis. I like, go for it, man. Love life. You only go around one time.
But I'm looking forward to all the eats.
Yeah, what you got going on?
Well, like I said, I got two different kinds of salmon that I'm going to smoke. And I got my brisket that's in the brine with the 117 herbs and special herbs and secret spices. And some going to do some pasta salad and potato salad. And one of the things that I'm really looking forward to are the slow, smoky, roasted stuffed jalapeno peppers.
That sounds good, Bob. Sounds like you got it going on.
Stuffed with cream cheese and crab meat and pimentos and mozzarella.
All right. What time can I come? Wait, I can't. There's a plague going on.
Yeah, damn plague.
Speaking of which, nobody here in my neck of the woods is taking it seriously. We had to go into town today. Nobody's wearing masks. Everybody's walking around just like it's a normal day. This thing's going to soar in about 2 weeks, man. All we can do is protect ourselves.
That's the best we can hope for.
Yeah, I mean, even if, you know the stats, I don't need to rehash them. 70% beats a zero. I mean, even if you got Joe Idiot without not wearing a mask. Or John Idiot, or whoever. Sorry, Joe. Wasn't targeting you.
COVID Idiot.
Enforce it.
Yeah, COVID Idiot. Go ahead, Duncan.
I wish they'd enforce it and start fining people like they're doing in Southern California now.
Texas? No. Where did I hear Texas. Somebody else's?
Yes, Texas is doing that. Yeah. $250 fine.
Good on them. I hope they enforce it. There's another beach that's doing a $100 fine, and I can't remember where it was. Duncan, is that out on your side?
I don't know. Most of the Southern California beaches are shut down now.
Even Orange County?
Even Orange County, I do believe.
Yeah, good.
I know they're showing a picture of Santa Monica Beach today. No, not a soul on it.
They're pier, flocking to Myrtle Beach like there's
the
no
pier tomorrow. All shut down. The amusement park on the pier, it's all shut down.
And the horror of this thing just keeps getting worse every day. Now they're speculating it could lead to neurological disorders 10 years down the road. Alzheimer's. I mean, this isn't the goddamn flu. People are got to get their heads on right, man. It's frustrating.
Dr. Fauci, what we going to do? Inject him with the Wuhan flu.
That was funny as shit. I didn't get it at first. I'm like, man, this dude can't sing worth a shit. And somebody in the chat said, Steve, you're being punked, you know?
Speaking of singing, Bob, have you ever heard of the Pink Fairies?
No.
They got a song called Naked Radio.
Huh.
Oh, play it. Get it.
It's really kind of strange-ish. The band is all these old people.
Well, I love what
there's
I love.
There's a clip in there. If I'll send you, I'll mail you the link.
Okay.
Email it. There's a clip in there. If you can clip it out, it's just it's when they sing Naked Radio. I mean, you just clip out that one deal. But when you listen to it, you'll see what I mean.
Okay. Maybe I can edit it. Well, I just want to hang on. I just want to go back for a minute because you know Steve from Georgistan has been responsible for some of the you know real gems of this program, things like 8-year-old bubble gum and I think we've got another one here. This guy can't sing worth a shit, and it reminded me of that line about, you know, I bought some of that Kentucky jelly and it just don't taste good at all. KY jelly. Yeah.
Hey, does everyone know well, I sent that to you, Bob. It wasn't. Does everyone know the Kentucky jelly story?
Enlighten people.
Okay, there was a guy in Cincinnati on WLW. His name was Gary Burbank, and he used to do all kinds of voices.
The Broadbank Burbcasting Corporation.
Yeah, the Broadbank Burbcasting. Well, he has a character called Gilbert Gnarly, and he called up, I don't know whatever company makes KY jelly, and he essentially calls, and it's actually on YouTube if you want to hear it. He actually calls up whoever makes it and tells them he wants to talk to like consumer affairs, and he says he came up with a slogan and he wanted to tell them how much he loved their Kentucky jelly. But he said he asked for if they had any recipes, and he said he didn't among the things he said is he didn't like the taste, it didn't taste right. His name's Gary Burbank, and I think I said that. He's done a whole. There's a whole bunch of them.
He's retired now, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, he did one. This was funny one too. He called up some department store in Cincinnati and asked if they would gift. This was around Christmas. He asked if they would gift wrap a package that was for a present that he shoplifted from Macy's.
He had a long and storied career. I remember hearing a reel of his stuff because the ops manager at CNN Radio was from the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just being completely devastated by that reel that he had of him. And one of the ones I remember the most was a bit that he did in which he said, and Steve, of course, you being a Reds fan, you'll understand. Uh-huh. The longtime broadcast team for the Cincinnati Reds was Joe Nuxall and Marty Brenneman. And Gary Burbank said, this is what would happen if you replaced Joe Nuxall and Marty Brenneman with a dog and a monkey. And so you had the woofing and the howling in per, you know, he played a clip of Joe and Marty, and then there was woof woof woof. Woof woof.
Oh my god.
And it was brilliant. It was hilarious.
He did one called Earl Pitts.
Oh, Earl Pitts American. Pitts off. Yes. Yeah.
Pitts off. he did one. Riley Gert of the Senseless Survey. He'd call up people and just ask them questions, just stupid random questions, like, you know, how many, you know, what's the highest number that you have on your TV dial? They were really funny. I was going to say real quick, Bob, I sent you how many new cases it looks like we're going to have today.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, 62,000.
And, you know, Dr. Fauci is going to wind up being a conservative estimator when we're at 125,000, 150,000 a day.
I'm losing sleep at night because I'm so furious. And I posted that video in Texas where that journalist goes into a Texas hospital emergency room, and he does the story at the end. He's almost in tears because it's just I don't want to say it's astounding. I don't want to say it's unbelievable, or I want to say any of that. I don't even know what to say because I am of the firm opinion.
Mind boggling. Heartbreaking.
I don't think any of this is an accident. I don't think this is incompetence. I think this is purely intentional. And I have come to conclusion a long time ago that he is a Manchurian candidate, and he's doing Putin's
well,
will.
Well, I mentioned, Steve, a Supreme Court, a pair of Supreme Court rulings today, unsigned opinions, both of them 5-4, the usual suspects. And it gives us an idea of where those five fascists stand in regard to voting. One case is out of Alabama, the other's out of Texas. And what they're doing, you know, they're not outright rulings; they're just refusing to act and kicking the can down the road in both cases. Neither of the cases are final judgments. One's a temporary stay of a lower court decision, and the other simply denies expedited review in an election year. And so, for instance, in Texas, if you're over 65, you can get an absentee ballot. If you're under 65, you very likely cannot. And the lower court was trying to address that, and they said, nah, why bother? And then there's Merrill versus People First of Alabama. And Alabama says anybody can have an absentee vote during the pandemic, but if you want to do that, you have to give a copy of your photo ID. The ballot has to be signed by either two witnesses or one notary public, which means that if you're not going to the polls because you're afraid of catching the Rona, you're still going to have to put yourself at risk to catch the Rona by going and either getting two witnesses or one notary public.
Well, thank God racism is over.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. They waived those restrictions or those requirements for people over 65, but not younger. And so the five fascists on the Supreme Court said, "Yeah, let's don't worry about that right now." So those rule. Alabama has a primary runoff coming up on July 14th, and so that will be the law of the land then in Alabama.
Well, Bob.
And then in Texas, you just pretty much can't vote absentee under 65. And so that's going to be status quo through the election, which means that, you know, the maggot base is 60. A lot of them are 65 and older because they're sitting there on the matching Barca loungers, you know, Emory and Marvelline, watching Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. And that's how you...
I'm so glad I live in Oregon where everybody votes at their kitchen table.
But that's how you maintain... That's how you keep Texas red, is by making sure that only the old people get to vote. They're a devious lot. But right, as noted, Roger, Oregon wants Oregonians to vote. Texas and Alabama, not so much.
Have you been watching the prep work for the big rally up at Mount Rushmore?
No.
Right now, the people standing in line are all singing, "The hills are alive with the smell of COVID." But no, the serious thing is that the chairs are slapped together, I mean, right next to one another for the audience. They are zip tied together, so you couldn't move a chair if you wanted to. And I'm fully expecting that there will be people, the crowd won't be close enough. They'll probably invite people to sit on one another's laps, you know, because they're not close enough already. So it's a death cult.
Make sure to get all that sweat all over each other, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a death cult.
LARPing and smolicking and grabulating. Yep. Just like Dave number 11 said. And it'll be belly button to butthole.
Yeah.
They don't call it sweaty South Dakota for nothing.
I didn't know they called it that, but, well, that explains it.
I wish there were somebody who has really great computer-generated effects video skills needs to, I guess they're going to frame the picture of Trump standing there with the four presidents in the background. Somebody needs to work it so that the presidents each turn away as he's speaking, you know, or have masks come up and then they turn away. I don't know anything about, I'm like you, Bob, I don't know anything shit about video editing, but I'm sure there's a way to do it, you know? But what got me, it wasn't bad enough that the chairs were right up next to each other in the audience section, but they were zip-tied together so that you couldn't remove them or space them out even if you wanted to. I mean, that is the height of irresponsibility and deliberate disregard. Why can't a court step in and say, you know, that there is a public good here at risk?
Because Scott, there is nothing for the court to enforce.
How do you mean? I don't know what you mean.
It's states' rights, and South Dakota has almost no restrictions whatsoever, if they even have any.
Well, I'm not talking just about South Dakota. There certainly ought to be an adult somewhere observing this, saying, you know, this can't, as H.W. Bush would say, this cannot stand, or this will not stand.
But there's no national restriction, Scott. A court cannot take jurisdiction where it lacks it. And it can't just step in and say something.
And Mount Rushmore is a national monument, too. I don't know if that figures in either. It's probably actually... I'm not sure if that would be federal land there or not either, if that would figure in either. So.
Well, I mean, then the National
Park... That's even worse.
The National Park Service has something...
I thought it was Sioux land.
If it's a national monument, there's some kind of jurisdiction there. But again, there has to be some sort of restriction in place to enforce.
And not only that, Bob, it's not like you could bring an action because there's no case or controversy.
Bingo.
Nobody could show harm.
There's nothing judicial. There's nothing justiciable.
Yeah.
So he's totally unleashed. And the people who support him, there are no restrictions, no limits, no nothing.
Yeah, and let's be clear here. I don't know why they zip-tied the chairs together, because the only people that are going to be there are maggots. The reason they're doing this
frequently in audiences.
frequently in audiences like this, they zip tie the chairs together in the event that somebody might get upset and they don't want to be able to pick them up and throw them. I had that experience when Bill Clinton came to speak in Eureka, California, when Hillary was running for president. And we tried to get them to use a bigger venue, but no, they wanted a smaller venue because they wanted it packed. And only about a tenth of the people that wanted to go actually got into the room. But they did zip tie all the chairs together so they wouldn't be moved, because they didn't want the potential for somebody to pick up a chair and throw it at Bill Clinton. And that was the Secret Service. So the Secret Service is doing proactive numbers. But I've been monitoring around on all kinds of stuff. The demonstration on the road going in, the South Dakota cops, none of them are wearing a mask, and virtually all the protesters lining the route are wearing masks, and even when they're talking, they're keeping their masks on. But at the venue, they had an Air Force band there with a lady singer, and Sparky could probably help me out here. Five underneath and one over the top was there on the arm was the lead singer with 5.5 rows of medals on her chest. None of them were masked.
Senior Master Sergeant.
E what?
E7.
E7? Okay. Anyhow, and the people in the audience, maybe a tenth of them, had a mask on that were already sitting in the chairs. Just tidbits of information.
So you could be an E7 and still just be a brainless maggot. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that they brought in an Air Force band and told them to get on the stage and play.
Probably from my.
I'm not sure that you have to be a maggot to be in the Air Force band in South Dakota. But
just following orders.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Minot Air Force Base is in South Dakota, I think.
Yes, it is.
Minot is Ellsworth. Minot's in North Dakota.
North Dakota,
Ellsworth,
right.
Ellsworth is by Rapid City, so yeah. It would be Ellsworth.
But I didn't think Minot was an Air Force base. I thought just Grand Forks was the Air Force base. Are there two Air Force bases in North Dakota?
Yes, there are.
There is or was a Minot Air Force base.
Okay.
Minot's where they keep B-52s. That's the only reason I know about it.
Yeah, that's also.
They were probably both SAC bases.
Yeah, well, most of the northern bases were SAC bases. Sure. Anyway.
Sure. Sorry to interrupt you, Bob.
No, I was thinking about a different base, one in Nebraska, the one that flooded in the
that's
last
Offutt.
Year. Or so. Yeah, Offutt, right.
That was SAC headquarters when there was a SAC. That's how I called home when I was in Guam, was through Offutt, on a direct line to Offutt Air Force Base on a Sunday night.
You know, Bob, what you were talking about, what you led the show with, is absolutely horrifying and terrifying. On the back porch yesterday, we had a little discussion about some states, if they couldn't certify their elections, then their electoral votes, they would not count. And we were talking about how it's possible that it could go to the state houses.
Bob opened the show with that, Chris. You must have jumped in late. Yeah, he explained it with crystal clarity with the recording from the guy who started it. That's frightening as all get out, you know. Jesus. Well, what are we going to do? I mean,
you know what I think might happen? Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, what I think might happen is it's just like almost any scenario you can come up with just seems likely. Not likely, but possible. I could see a possibility of the military stepping in to remove him from office.
I hope you're right about that. But the big boss, I mean, he's going to be president.
There's no constitutional mechanism for that, Steve.
I know there's not, but Bob, let's be honest here. if, how much constitutional mechanisms are there for what's going on right now?
I understand that, but once you go down that road, it's over. The game is over. The experiment has ended and failed.
And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, given my antipathy to the Constitution, I wouldn't mind that. I think we ought to scrap the whole thing and go back to a constitutional monarchy.
Bob, I got a question what you said there about the experiment failing. If military people were to step in, they would have to, in their own minds, have some justification for doing it. What if there were something that was irrefutably provable and blatant? Would it still be a matter of their stepping in, being out of step with the process? I mean, I don't know. How can we go on under this situation? And if by some off chance he's reelected, if by some chance he's reelected, he'll have no limits. If you think he has no limits now, you know.
Well, he also will have no legitimacy in the majority of the population's mind, and I don't know how much that's going to matter. Because the Supreme Court is going to be completely annihilated for, like, decades.
Well, it won't matter if the cable's on. You know, but here's the bottom line.
That's the point, Steve. Yeah.
Here's the bottom line. We have to make sure it doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
But if anyone
wants to... Well, with regard to how, they're already putting the wheels in motion, sounds to me like.
We just have to vote and insist.
Mr. Gower started that nonsense. Bob played it earlier. That's what that. What's his name? That's who it reminds me of. The drunken version of Mr. Gower from It's a Wonderful Life. That's who he looks like.
We just have to make sure it doesn't happen. And then there's bullshit in the. Look, it's up to the states to certify the electors. The states have the absolute power to do that. However they want to do it. Remember, the states don't have to hold a popular vote to choose their electors. They can choose them however they want to. And if worse comes to worse, then we pressure our respective states to say, hey, send those electors and make sure that they elect Joe Biden.
Send John Britt a vote.
Well, it's already in our California. It's one of those states that already the popular vote. Whoever wins a popular vote.
But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is each state gets to choose how they get to choose any way they want. They don't have to let us vote to choose the electors.
They could pick names out of a hat, Steve.
They could they could pick. They could say we're going to pick names out of the hat. We're going to make the candidates mud wrestle.
Did you guys see that thing on MSNBC this morning? Where the guy was doing? Yeah, he was talking about the 12th Amendment and how there's 26 electors and to 24 electors in favor of the Republicans in each state. And it basically just
that's what Bob mentioned. That's what Bob
What I thought. I missed the first half, and that's what I thought you're talking about. But, I mean, that is really ominous, and it seems like no matter what we do, we're right back to where we were in 1876 when Rutherford Hayes beat Tilden, or he lost to Tilden. He lost the popular vote and the Electoral College, and he still ended up president. It's frightening, and I don't know what the answer is.
But This whole thing about sending it into the House of Representatives where each state gets one vote, what is the criteria? I mean, I know that California and New York and Oregon and Washington are all going to be voting Democratic. I mean, that's just kind of a given. And other states are guaranteed to be Republican, and that's a given. But in order to throw it to the House of Representatives, what is the threshold of states not certifying their elections and therefore not having a delegate to the Electoral College to get it thrown to the House of Representatives?
Well, what Tom
that's not the criteria. What
Tom Rogers posited was that, and that's why I found the Peter Navarro clip so chilling, he posited that he will that Trump has all he's already he can't keep anything secret. He's already telegraphing what he's thinking or what his handlers are thinking. And that is to declare a national emergency, claiming that there has been a vast interference in the electoral process by the by the Chinese, and that and that the vote count can't be certified. And in the meantime, Biden runs off to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, "Hey, you know, you got a deadline. It's December 14th. If you don't have if you don't have your electoral college votes certified by then, it goes to the House." And boom, there you are.
Well, if it goes to the House, then we're okay.
What percentage of the electoral college? What percentage? If right now, what does it take? 270 votes in the electoral college.
Yeah. If there are not 270. If nobody gets 270, then it goes to the House.
But this is a scenario where no electoral college votes are certified. Zero. Because it will not be possible to.
Well, guys, what do we care if it goes to the House of Representatives? We're fine.
No, we're not.
It's the state houses.
It's not the state houses.
No, yeah, each state contingent gets one vote.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was talking about on the back porch last night. Yeah. All right.
In which case, it winds up 26-24 or 27-23.
Hey, Bob, I have to ask you. I don't, when you say, given what that the states have the absolute power to determine their electors, what would going to the Supreme Court have anything to do with? The states could say, we're gonna choose our electors, and there's nothing the court can do.
Bush v. Gore, anyone?
But that's different. That was an equal protection based upon the vote. If the state, worst comes to worst, the state says we're disregarding the vote. We're gonna choose the electors however we want to, and we're gonna take into account the popular vote, but we don't have to do it that way.
How do you choose electors when the vote itself has been invalidated?
You choose them any way you want to. It says it in the Constitution that they shall choose. I mean, you know, the state legislatures used to be who chose them. They could do it with a coin toss. They could do it with, like I said earlier, with mud wrestling. They could choose the electors. The two candidates have to have a dart game. There's nothing in there saying they have to have a vote. And if you if the state legislature said we're going to vote however we want, that is essentially unsavory, perhaps, to say we can consider what the popular vote was, but we're going to do it however we want, and we want Biden to have the electors. There's no equal protection issue there. There's no due process issue there because they disenfranchised everyone. They didn't say certain counties. They just said we're going to choose them however we want to. Nothing wrong with that. They could give the governor the power to do it. Nothing. I don't want to say nothing wrong.
In which case you're fucked again, because again, anything that involves the state houses, you've got a majority of Republicans. And we're back to 27-23 or 26-24.
Uh-huh. Do you have it? I don't know. Are there a majority of Republican governors?
Yes.
I didn't think they were after 2018. I didn't think they were.
State houses, Steve, controlled by Republicans.
26-24.
Wait a minute. I thought that was the delegations in the House.
Every state gets in. If it gets thrown into the House, every state gets one vote.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
Stop, please.
Okay, sorry.
If it gets thrown to the House, every state gets one vote. That one vote is apportioned not based upon how many Democrats or Republicans each House delegation has, but upon the political control in the state houses.
That vote, right, Bob?
Right.
The vote in that House. That state house.
So, for instance, Alabama gets one vote. All right. Alabama gets one vote. Alabama is a Republican-controlled state. They will vote, even though there's one Democrat in their House delegation. It's going to be one vote for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of a state that's a little more even. Look, there's
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's got Democrats and Republicans.
It's pretty close.
But their state house is controlled by the Republican Party.
Yeah,
so
barely.
Wisconsin's one vote is going to be a vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But I'm saying before it even gets there.
Well, if you could do that end run, Steve, that's great. Cut that off at the pass.
No, all I'm saying is that each state gets to choose how it wants to choose its electors for the Electoral College. It doesn't have to rely on the popular vote in that state.
But I think what Bob is saying is that the electors are moot.
What Bob is saying, if there aren't if by that by the 14th they haven't met to elect or to vote in the Electoral College, or there's not a majority, then it goes into the House. My point is the federal government has nothing to say about when those electors are certified or when those electors are chosen.
Yeah.
Unless I'm completely misunderstanding what everyone's saying. I'm not trying to be obtuse. I just look at it as what I'm talking about is the step before what Bob's talking about. If it does go into the House, yeah, that's the Trump wins. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the way I understand it is it would have to go to the Supremes to a court process. And, of course, the Supremes are going to, with Bart Kavanaugh, what goes around comes around, need I say more, you know?
But I don't think they have any say is my point. They have no say in how a state chooses its electors unless they do it in a discriminatory way. Suppose Joe Biden wins the state of Florida, and somebody said, "Well, we're afraid that they're not going to that we're not going to have the electors chosen." The state of Florida can say, "Okay, fine, we're throwing them to Biden." It's the state gets to determine. The federal government has nothing to say about how each state chooses its electors for the Electoral College.
And in any Republican-dominated state, they will choose it via some Republican-dominated process, Steve. And there are 26 of those.
So, I thought you meant that 26 of the delegations in the House. How many state houses do the Republicans control?
26 or 27, uh-huh. Depending on how you count.
I don't mean to throw in a further complicating factor, but, okay, yeah, let's say the Republican-dominated state houses across the various states, the decision is thrown to them. Will it make any difference if there are members of each of those bodies who are like never Trumpers and they're in the majority?
Yeah, well, that might be wishful thinking, Scott.
Well, I don't know whether it's wishful thinking or just wondering. I mean,
like some what's that? What's the Republican turncoat's name?
Which one? There are a lot of them.
Well, the one that voted against him in impeachment.
Romney.
Yeah. What's
Romney,
his name?
Yeah.
Well, Romney. That's the Senate. But who is the House guy? He ran.
Oh,
for
Justin Amash.
Oh yeah. I forgot
so
about him.
So you're thinking there might be a few of those, just enough of those, Scott?
Well, I don't know. All I know is there are a fair number of Republicans who were against Trump even back during the primary in 2016. And just for purposes of self-preservation, for if not themselves, the party, And what is the mechanism?
If that's how Biden wins.
What is the mechanism in each of the state houses? Is there a vote among all of the
House members? As Steve says, they can do it any way they want to.
So they could have a dance competition if they wanted to.
Yeah, they could play Mumbledypeg.
Yeah, they could play Plinko.
Well, that's what I think the U.S. Electoral process ought to be changed to. Plinko. Have somebody win their pricing game to get on stage, their pricing game once they're on stage, their showcase, their Plinko, and then the showcase showdown.
Showcase
and whoever
showdown.
Does that gets Bob to be Barker's the fucking president.
Alive? He's still alive, Bob Barker.
He could hold the Bible and swear whoever it is in. I'm okay with that.
He's got his dog, D-Baller, with the Zoom.
Get Yodley guy to sing the national anthem. Well, never mind. I think the heat has just finally gotten to me. I'll sit down now.
Well, Donnie's handler-in-chief, showed him how to run an election in Russia, right? He showed him how to run a sham election. So he's got pointers, and he's got – there's the roadmap. Right?
Well, that may be our salvation. If they tally up the votes in November and Trump gets 110% of the electoral vote – I mean the popular vote – we'll know that something is amiss. Was it 110, 130, 115% of the people voted? Wait a minute. Jesus.
Dark times, boys and girls.
And they would be dark just on their own, it being an election year, but you throw COVID-19 into the mix. And it's just fun for everybody.
And police death squads, pile that on top.
Oh, yeah.
Take the cherry on top, right?
Yeah, and the people are on edge anyway. You know, you've got the black folks in the country. You've got the white folks in the country. You've got the people out of work in the country.
Oh, yeah, that's coming big time. I saw a big thing about the renters, and what do you think, guys? Is it possible to have a general strike on rent? I won't pay my rent next month. I already paid my rent for this month. I'm actually on a payment plan. I'm paying half.
Well, and there's also the people, the business owners, mostly small business, but some big business too. They have to rent, in most cases, they have to rent their retail property from someone. And if the someone who owns that property hasn't been paid for 3 or 4 months, and they're not paying off their loans, it's a fucking economic chain reaction.
The dominoes all go falling down.
Oh, yeah.
It's about to get real shitstorm.
And it's in those circumstances when all of these factors conspire together that people become highly erratic and unpredictable.
Uh-huh.
I think you look at, you know, over history in some of these tin pot countries, not to denigrate, you know, other tin pot countries, because that's what we're being reduced to if Trump and Putin have their way. You know, we're already, for years now, the way the economy and the system has been set up, we used to have a vibrant middle class. Within the space of my lifetime, we had it. But we're each new year, it seems we're edging ever closer to being a cut rate, discount, you know, second rate, third rate. Shithole country. Pardon me, but I mean, that's...
There's been a wealth transfer of at least $24 trillion from the middle class to the upper 5 to 1 to 5% since Reagan, so for the past 44 decades.
Yeah.
Roughly $24 trillion wealth transfer. That's our middle class.
Well, Sparky has an audio drop he wants to hear.
Oh, is this Naked Radio?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you knock it off with them negative waves? Why don't you dig how beautiful it is out here? Why don't you say something righteous and hopeful for a change? Crap.
With the negative waves. Yeah, I know. We're all just little rays of fucking sunshine this evening.
I mean, all the polls look good. Trump is just keeps digging a hole for himself. You know, I mean, all of that seems like we should be cheery, but you know, with the news we got today and Peter Navarro and his horse shit, these guys are setting the stage for an obvious coup.
They're just horrible
Thanks
people.
Thanks for playing that, Bob.
I'm sorry about the audio, but it was very low.
Well, I could hear it.
They are horrible.
Oh, and a reminder from Lou. Also, the opioid crisis, because that's still out there.
We forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. And you know, and here's another one. I ran across. I don't know how I missed this when it happened, but I guess back in March. RuPaul was on Fresh Air with Terry Gross and caused a bit of a kerfuffle because I guess RuPaul and his husband have a big ranch in Wyoming or something. And Terry Gross asked, you know, do y'all raise horses, sheep, cattle, what? And the answer that came back was, you know, we lease our mineral rights. So, basically, RuPaul is a fracker.
Oh.
Son of a gun. You know,
off to the dark side.
You know, a mother fracker.
So, you know, so much for a harm to one is a harm to all, and solidarity, and all, you know, everybody has to stand for every other marginalized community. Nah. Nope. Sorry.
What was wrong with a nice sequin raising operation? I mean, why do you have to make the jump into mineral right and fracking?
Right.
Jesus.
James in Illinois says...
Hey, that's one of the plot lines of Yellowstone.
James in Illinois says, COVID voting, they're planning to steal this election... Historical reference, every previous election that I can remember, not just personally, but historically, if we aren't willing to risk COVID, would we stand a chance in a conventional civil war? We have to vote. Damn the consequences. We win, we prosecute. We lose, we fight on. It will not be easier next time if we lose this one. I don't think there will be a next time if we lose this one. Plain and simple.
I agree. This is it.
I don't think the states will stay together if he wins again. I think some will split off.
That's by design.
Well, but that's also an asked and answered question. After the Civil War, it was made abundantly clear that you cannot that secession is not an option.
Sparky, how many submarines do we have on the Pacific coast? Most of them, right?
No.
Fuck it. Let them go. Huh? No?
No. Submarines are based on both coasts.
Oh, okay. Well, I know what Washington's got a
Maine,
base.
Maine and Connecticut have a bunch.
Well, we can take the Northeast. That'll be I don't know how you could keep the two.
Groton, Connecticut is the big sub base on the East Coast.
Yeah, Groton. Oh, by the way, speaking of
boats right there in Groton, that's where they're made.
Speaking of Connecticut, Darlene with a note. Ah, oh, geez. And this from the Washington Post. The guy who created Mount Rushmore, the sculptor Gutzon Borglum. Yeah, he was deeply...
Borglum, really?
Yeah, he was deeply involved with the KKK. And that kind of shows from his involvement with creating and I know you've seen it, I've seen it, anybody who lives in Georgia has seen it, Stone Mountain. Before he created Mount Rushmore, he created Stone Mountain, and he was an anti-Semite and a Klansman.
Yeah, sadly, it's a but we now also have to, huge.
We also have to figure out that Mount Rushmore is on land that was never properly ceded back to the federal government from the one treaty of 1851, another one 1868, I believe, are the dates. And it truly, if the courts ever did the right thing, is it's still Indian land.
That's what I heard, Roger, on a program today.
Oh, it's not heard. That's definite.
Yeah.
It is. And the Sioux Nation has said Trump's not welcome, but they're not able to put up a roadblock to keep him out.
Well, there is a
there's always surface to air missiles.
Well, no, I think it would be perfectly appropriate for a group
Native
of them.
Within.
It would be perfectly appropriate for a group of them to appear on top of the monument, and do a curse dance on him.
Would you want to touch his scalp, though?
On the monument.
No, Donnie. If Donnie's up there, then could they scalp him?
Oh, but he won't be up there. And stop talking like that. You're going to get me visited by the humorless people with the skinny
true.
Black
that's
ties.
I'm dancing on eggshells there. Sorry. No offense, please. No offense.
It's parody and political speech.
Don't send the letters. Don't send the letters.
Lou asking, if states can't secede, can we at least kick states out?
Can we combine? Bill Maher says there should be one Dakota. And then we can make a Trumpistan out of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Utah would be Romneyland. But at least those three states you could combine.
Yeah, it would. Utah would be to Trumplandia as Yugoslavia was to the Soviet Union.
Now, what kind of rides are there at Romneyland? I want to write in for my tickets.
There's the French bicycle attraction, in which roving bands of Viet Cong leap out at you from behind imitation French architecture.
And you can ride caged on the car too.
That's another ride. You serve as Seamus, the Irish setter, and you're zipped around a track strapped to the top of a station wagon.
And just try not to piss yourself.
No, the whole point is to make you do that, because that's what happened to the poor dog.
Yes.
How about pin the horn on Moroni? Moroni.
Yeah, Morani lost his horn recently in a earthquake or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Back when they built that Mormon temple in Maryland in the D.C. suburbs, and you're coming around the Beltway after a hard night of drinking, you know, driving with one eye closed, and you come around that bend on a foggy night, and you see that fucking angel, that golden angel up on top of that thing. First of all, it looks like the Wizard of Oz off in the distance. You know,
you go,
the
holy
city.
Shit!
You know, and somebody once sprayed on an overpass, Dorothy, go home, you know, as you're approaching the Mormon temple in Maryland. Jesus, it was a... But it'll sober your ass up real quick. You know, you come around the bend there and see that.
Well, as Darlene in Connecticut suggests, also at Romneyland, you don't want to miss the Binders Full of Women roller coaster.
Spaceship to the Kolob.
And you travel around the park in little tiny miniature AMC gremlins.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you can put on some magic underwear and see if there's any way you can get any kind of satisfaction.
Hey, everyone. I'm sorry to interrupt. I have to go look at an apartment. So if I drop off here, that's why. I just want you to know it's not like I have sour grapes or anything. That's just I'm looking at an apartment at 8 o'clock. So,
I hope it works out for you if you want it.
Yeah. If I don't pipe up again, I want to wish everyone a good fourth. Let's hope it's not the last one.
Hey, Steve, sanitize yourself real good before you go in there and look at that apartment.
Oh, I'm plenty sanitized. I have more. Okay. I bought a gallon of rubbing alcohol, so I have spray bottles of alcohol in two or three different places.
Excellent.
And I've got a whole cadre of masks that I'm going to keep in my office, some I keep at home, some I still have in packages. But I just wanted to wish everyone a safe and yada, 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 and all that kind of mishigas. And I didn't say hi to Sparky, and I apologize. I said hi to everybody else but him, and I apologize for that.
Happy fourth.
Hi, Steve. I was rude, told you to turn off your camera when you first come in.
Oh, I know, but I didn't say hello. I did it on purpose. So
I know.
Funny
faces. It was nice.
Yeah. You look like you could use
there
a
haircut. There you go.
There I am. Have a good weekend.
Good luck with the dig, Steve.
Thank you.
Looking,
I'm gonna
looking
stick
good
on
there
for the next few minutes. Listen. Say it again.
Looking good there.
Thank you.
Hey, Scott, I posted a picture in the chat I want you to look at.
I need a fucking haircut. Say that.
Was that the Mormon temple?
That's the one in Oakland.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they had one in Oakland. God damn, that's pretty. It appears to be on a hill.
So oh, they like hills.
Oh, yeah. If you go down Interstate 80 through Oakland, Alameda area, Berkeley, go past Berkeley, Oakland area. You look up over the hills, and that thing sticks out like a sore thumb.
Wow.
I remember seeing that when I was a kid, and I go, what the hell is that?
Radio tower on top of the main structure. God damn. RKO radio fucking picture, boys and girls. God,
so why do we have an Arkansas and a Kansas? We could combine those too, right? That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Oh, and by the way, just a quick update from our pal Renee in D.C. Out in Washington State, 105 University of Washington students in fraternity houses have tested positive now.
Ooh.
Yeah, that won't play well. Why are they in fraternity houses right now? It's July. Summer school, I don't know. It's crazy making.
But there shouldn't be classes in session. They should be online, virtual. Thanks.
Here in Oregon, there's still a lot of students in the neighborhood.
I know USC is not having a fall semester. It's going to continue online.
Doing what we.
I hate autoplay audio. My bad.
No worries. Brother Bob, did you get my correspondence just a yes or no?
I did. I did.
All right, cool.
And in fact, we've started the third hour of the program, so I need to send out some thank yous. And that starts with you, Steve, with the $20 Raw Dogs Martini Bath Challenge. I love that. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, if you take a martini bath, you just wind up smelling like hand sanitizer. So, you know, there's that. Yeah, and thanks to Gary, and thanks to Elizabeth. Thank you all very kindly for jumping in. Much, much appreciated.
And hey, Bob.
Hey, Billable Rick.
How you doing?
That's one of those loaded questions these days, isn't it?
No kidding. No kidding. I just got back doing some errands, took the dogs for about an hour worth of errands, dry cleaners, vet clinic, and pet store, and then I'm finally here back at Stars. So I'm going to give them shampoos here in about an hour or so, and then hit some range balls.
Nice.
So how's everybody doing today?
A little warm in here, but it's been a beautiful day.
Okay.
And
okay.
And I've got a cowbell to award to Glenn in San Diego. Did you ever notice the number of Mormon temples that are very near major highways? Whatever happened to separation of church and interstate?
Bravo.
Good.
Bravo.
Real good.
Very clever. Very clever. He had to go away ways for that, but he got one.
Well played.
Yeah, Bilbo, we're just watching Trump getting ready to mosey on over to Mount Rushmore.
Oh, okay. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, as Jude points out, as Jude points out, he really does want his mug on that rock. Because, among other things, he would love to stick it to the Indians.
Well, there you go.
He hates them, yes.
Well, there's room. There is room for a fifth president, as you all know. But the architect is long gone. Maybe he's got some family that would be willing to carry it on. I forget his name. He also did Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Well, that was, we have the name there. Gutzon Borglum. Again, okay. Deeply involved with the KKK and an anti-Semite. Now, in terms of, we've had a lot of controversies over a lot of memorials, a lot of statues, things like that. I saw one today that just baffles me. In Copenhagen, the world famous statue of the Little Mermaid that sits in the harbor there. Somebody painted on it racist fish.
Really?
Yeah. I'm trying to sort out what the message is there.
What's the backstory on the Little Mermaid?
Probably has
Hans Christian Andersen.
Probably a German cartoonist or something.
No, Hans Christian Andersen, 17th century.
That's true.
Created the story of the Little Mermaid who wanted to be a human girl. I remember reading a translation of it. I don't know, maybe Flavio's read it in the original Danish. Is there a racist aspect to the Little Mermaid? Racist fish?
Well, I guess maybe
Hans Christian Andersen was a colonizer.
Was he?
In favor of colonization. Who knows?
No, didn't he write that story about the kid with the silver skates? That's privilege, wealth and privilege.
Hans Brinker, and yeah, he also wrote the story about the little boy who put his finger in the dike, didn't he?
Ooh.
Well, pretty soon, with taking down all these statues, things are going to look pretty bleak. You're not going to see any statues anywhere. I'm obviously exaggerating.
We could put up
at least, the statues of the Confederates, that's kind of like asking, okay, well, why doesn't Germany have statues of Hitler, Hermann, Goering and...
Goebbels.
Goebbels, yeah. Well, they lost, okay, or they lost the war. So why should Germany honor them, So why should we honor the dead Confederates? They were traitors to the country.
Well, here's where I side on this. It's like, we need to get rid of all Confederate statues out of the public square. None should be honored. But also, we never want to forget, right? So, the same reason why Germany still has the camps everywhere, so that no one can ever forget, right? So they still can be visited. They don't have statues, but they still have memorial is maybe too nice of a word. We can never forget what happened. There was a segment of the population who was subjugated and brutalized in a genocidal fashion, and we can never ever forget that. And we should never.
Well,
scrub it away.
I personally would like to see a statue of William Tecumseh Sherman in Jackson, Mississippi, Montgomery, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, and Columbia, South Carolina.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that, too. Yep.
Let them deal with that for, like, the next 80 years, like we've had to deal with.
Well, no, instead of putting it up as a memorial to Lest We Forget, put it up as a memorial as Y'all Better Remember.
Gary, okay, you turned it around. I'm totally cool with that, but we can never forget. You know, we can't. So I'd like to see a museum. Could, you know, every state should have a Civil War museum regardless, and that's where they all should go.
Or maybe on the plinth of that William Tecumseh Sherman statue, translated into Latin, we did it before, we can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe the statue should be Sherman standing there with a torch in his hand.
And maybe wearing a mask too, Bob.
You know what would be nice? Would be, you know how at the county fairs, the state fairs every summer, you go into this refrigerated area and there's a life-size butter sculpture of a cow or whatever?
I think that's an Iowa thing, but yeah.
Commission people to do life-size butter sculptures of Confederate heroes and then raffle off chances for somebody to be the honoree to stand up and turn up the thermostat, and then you can watch it melt and send the proceeds to, like, Black Lives Matter.
I think you need a flamethrower. The person has to have a flamethrower, folks.
Or a flamethrower. That's even better.
And melt that margarine sculpture, that margarine marmalade sculpture, whatever.
And change all the military bases to Camp Loser, Fort Loser.
Yeah.
Fort Treason.
Yeah. Traitor.
I think the world would be a better place if they pulled down all the Confederate statues and put up statues based on Dr. Seuss characters. I think would be a lot better.
You know, Charlie Brown or South Park.
The Sneetches. The Sneetches.
The Simpsons.
Bob and everybody, you're familiar with the Southern maggot mentality. Can you imagine the outrage if they sandblasted Stone Mountain? My God, their heads would explode around here, man.
Well, they are already. Just watch.
Well, I'd be okay, again, with adding a little bit more to Stone Mountain. There's some room to work with, and you could sculpt in Sherman and Grant and George Thomas and a couple of others chasing them and making them run away.
They could even incorporate that into the laser show.
Right.
Perfect.
With some Billy Idol music in the background.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They currently have Elvis singing his tribute, you know.
Oh, where he does the battle hymn of the Republic and Dixie at the same time?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
So who's covering this event at Mount Rushmore tonight on the news channels?
Only C-SPAN.
Sure Fox will.
No, only C-SPAN. According to Ralph's earlier, yeah.
Only C-SPAN?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Damn, well, let me bring that up. Maybe you'll fall.
I
just want to remind everybody that at Black Hills, there's also a statue of Crazy Horse that's being built.
That's the one that's really breathtaking.
Yeah, and the person that put that or started that was not a racist. He was he's very much for the Native Americans. So it's got a long ways to go, and it's just one family that's doing it. So it's taking a long time, but.
Are they still doing it, Erwin?
Yeah, they're still working on it. Yeah, in fact, my nephew actually worked there for one summer. But it's a very slow process. It's a huge statue. You know.
Yeah, eventually it will be him astride his horse, with his hair blowing in the wind and pointing out and pointing toward Indian lands.
Yeah, that's correct. So.
Nice.
But I don't think Trump will probably visit that site, but we'll wait and see.
he probably won't be invited by the local authorities there to do that.
Yeah. That may be that's probably private land too. I'm not sure who owns that, but anyway.
I'm trying to remember Blackhawk. They chased Blackhawk all over the place, and I think Blackhawk, his final holdout place was in South Dakota. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. I mean, he was all over the place, but I think there might be a big Blackhawk statue in South Dakota too. I could be wrong on that. Feel free to fact check me if I am wrong.
And apparently at the Crazy Horse mountain carving, one of the things they've taken to doing is they have annually a night blast where they literally light up the mountain and then set off the demolition the explosive charges to reveal some more stone. That would be something to see. This year's has been canceled.
All right. Well, naturally. Smartly.
And there's a motto or something that goes, something like, wherever my people are, there is my heart. It's a quote from Crazy Horse.
Yeah. You know, as far as artistic representation, Mount Rushmore is really well made, and I've never seen the stone, but the person who did it is, you know, it's the artist itself was pretty good, I thought, when I visited.
Yeah, he just turned out to be a horrible human being.
Wouldn't be the first time a horrible human being made good art, right?
Right. Well, let's look at Chrissy Hynes, folks.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah.
I like James Woods as an actor once upon a time. I grew up loving Lethal Weapon movies.
Yeah, well. Oh, and Irish Dave trying to clarify on the business of throwing it into the house. No. When a presidential election is thrown into the House of Representatives under the Constitution, it's state-by-state vote. Each state gets one vote based on the number of Republicans and Democrats in that delegation. Today, Republicans control the House on that kind of vote, 26-23, with one delegation, Pennsylvania, split. Even if Pennsylvania was to elect a Democratic delegation, come this new election, because it's new Congress that votes here, it would be 26-24 Republicans, and Trump retains the presidency.
Yeah, but I like Scott's point, Bob, that maybe there's some patriots amongst them, and it wouldn't take many.
Just ask the Hamilton electors, Chris, right?
There you go.
Yeah, it turned out there were more Hamilton faithless electors who didn't vote for Hillary than, you know, didn't vote for Trump.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so you can't be close.
No, this can't be close. This no. Exactly right. And every battleground state, you're going to need at least a 5% cushion. That's the at least the cheat factor there.
I was going to ask you guys. I didn't catch the news yesterday. What were the job numbers?
Well, supposedly good.
11%.
11% unemployment.
Yeah, and they were actually celebrated that, and President Twit for Brains. Said that he's engaging in job creation.
Okay, what with all the fact checking you have to do of him or what?
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
Well, that's just bringing back like a small portion of the ones that were destroyed.
Right.
It's got to be understated by a factor of 100%. It's probably more like 22%.
Well, and, you know, Bob's talked about this. How many different unemployment percentages, numbers are there? There's like 10 different ones, right?
Yeah.
Mm. U1, U2, U3, I mean, yeah.
So pick the one you want. Kind of like money supply numbers, right?
Yes.
M2, et cetera, M3.
How much tax do I owe, Rick?
I can't tell you.
Give me the lowest number, please.
Zero.
Yeah, that's the best.
And if you're a sovereign citizen, you're not required to pay taxes or file a return, as you all know.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of whom, have you noticed the resemblance between the COVIDiot anti-mask cards and the sovereign citizen cards? You think maybe they're the same fucking people?
Good chance. You know, I saw that today on the Facebook. It was funny.
Now I gotta wonder what Greg Abbott's gonna do down there in Texas now that he's imposed a masking order. What's he gonna do when them Texans start showing up with their freedom protectors around him?
There you go. Well, then he's gonna have to have his security, you know, step up and protect his ass, you know.
Supreme Leader
Pence walked out of his plane with his entourage, and they were all wearing masks.
Oh, okay. Well, it just looks so tacky to wear a mask. I mean, you know, and I can't breathe when I do. I've got all these medical conditions that...
Yeah, CO2 comes running right back into my lungs. Yeah,
I got a secret medical condition that my doctor says I don't have to tell you about, but my doctor says... My secret breathing medical condition is not so bad that I can't go spewing viral particles around hither, thither, and yon, but I ain't going to tell you what it is, because it's a secret.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, HIPAA, you know?
Yeah.
Privacy, HIPAA.
And OSHA, and the ADA.
Yeah, it's like the CO2.
Happy HIPAA.
There you
go. Like the CO2.
Or is it hungry HIPAA?
The CO2 molecules look a lot like the Metamucilex monster, right?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, you know what's funny is there was another card that emerged. Basically, can I punch you if you're not wearing a mask and stay out of jail card or something like that? Has anyone seen that?
No.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, so it looks like Roger's posting stuff about the protest leading to Mount Rushmore. Apparently, pepper spray has been shot, rubber bullets.
Oh, big surprise.
It's now been declared an unlawful assembly over the loudspeaker and pepper balls being sprayed. I posted the link. I could do it again to the, let's see. It's a Facebook feed. From unicornriot.ninja, www.unicornriot.ninja.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not a live feed anymore.
Oh, I'm seeing a live feed.
It doesn't look live. There's nobody did pepper balls or anything.
Well, I'm seeing a guy with a plywood... shield sign type of thing. I'm seeing people dancing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Post a link.
It's on Facebook.
Oh, another little thing that broke today. I guess Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington football team, is now open to considering a name change for that squad. Leading contenders, this is not a joke, the Washington Red Tails, the Washington Warriors, the Washington Monuments.
The Monuments. Oh, there you go.
Oh, the Washington Monuments were pulled down by the New England Patriots today.
Yeah, even with their famous stand there defense. Jesus.
Here are the betting lines. The Washington Presidents, plus 300. The Washington Generals, plus 400. The Washington Lincolns, plus 400. The Washington Americans, plus 500. The Washington Kings, plus 500. The Washington Memorials, plus 500. The Washington Capitals, plus 600. The Washington Veterans, plus 600. That's rookie veteran quarterback. Washington, that could get confusing in a real hurry. Washington Jeffersons, Washington Roosevelts, Washington Monuments, and the Washington Arlingtons.
Can't be your Capitals. That's a hockey team.
Did you say Washington Georges, Bob?
No, I didn't say the Washington Georges.
That's the obvious one. What the hell?
I take it the Washington Indians is out of the running.
Closest thing would be your Washington Warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, let's go over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hello.
There you are. Hey, Jude.
Hey, Bob.
Welcome aboard.
First of all, I had to clarify with you when you read that email that I sent to you about Trump wanting his face on Rushmore.
Yeah.
You really paraphrased me completely different. I would never make reference to the first peoples as Indians because of what's happened in my family and, you know, my grandson being referenced that. And I know it didn't come out of a, it came out of a place that you do wonderful flow when you're into certain.
Well, not just that, Jude. I have a very dear friend who was involved in AIM for a number of years. His life's work is doing rehab and recovery work in the federal penitentiary system with indigenous inmates. And he told, and I asked him once. I said, "How do you want me to refer to you?" He said, "I'm an Indian." He said, "White folks been giving us different names for 500 years. We'll just stick with the one you gave us first."
Well, you know, my journey is always one of humility, and I have struggled for so long, even in our family with people of color. I've never wanted to overstep, look at things differently, and there's just a certain way in which I write. And
sure.
But I appreciate deeply you sharing that with me. Thank you. But I always, you know, I'll always stand in a place of being corrected. But for some reason, it just, and I, you know, I didn't say mug. And I don't want it to sound critical, but I so seldom call in or try to offer things that are going on because this is not necessarily a forum. But when I put words out, it's important because of the work that I do that it comes across. You know, kind of from where I am, kind of the brand of whatever it is that we do here in women's standing. So,
yeah.
So
I thought I was faithful to your language. I didn't realize I'd made a mistake.
Oh, well, and it might sound completely insignificant, but you know what? I was thinking about being at the protest, last week and how important just certain things are. And I don't want to belabor it, but if I misinterpreted how you phrased it, you know, I apologize for that, because that gives me some different kind of insight. Because I'm not somebody that ever wants to be viewed as putting people in a compromised position. And sometimes it comes at a great cost, because it takes a lot of probing and being authentic and, you know, trying to do my best with things.
Well, like I said, this dear friend of mine was with AIM, and you know, of course, that AIM stands for American Indian Movement.
Yes.
And that was, you know, that was not a colonial, that was not a colonially imposed moniker. They chose that for themselves.
Thank you everyone for watching. This is an attempt team here in Keystone, South Dakota, on this highway.
Oh, I hear.
Yeah, I hear audio from, who's running the audio?
It also almost sounds like a Native American chanting going on, which is pretty.
Well, that's what Roger was discussing. There's been a lot.
The audio from that.
Yeah, that's the audio from the protest gathering that's taking place at Mount Rushmore.
I don't know who's doing it.
Oh, yeah. I had learned about it last night, and it just became so prevalent, kind of on my spirit and everything. But if it's okay, if the group doesn't mind, I'd like to give kind of a synopsis of that protest down in Walla Walla.
Yeah, go right ahead. I know people would like to hear about that.
Well, it was the first time ever with Women Standing that we carried a sign. We've always just, you know, like you referenced before, the boots and flowers, the baby shoes. But when Mikey connected with me, he asked, and instantly, because of my friendship and my respect for him, said yes. And it took like a week to process how that was going to be, because it was huge. And in Women's Standing, it's not just me. There's so many women, like my dear sister friend Mary that died 4 months ago. You know, she journeyed from her hospital bed when we were down in you know, with the children down at Clint Kusterman border. So the women are across, you know, across the country. So I may be by myself, but I am never alone. So we, my nephew drove, because Walla Walla is about 5 miles or 5 hours from here. And he was kind enough to drive me down, but he didn't know we wanted to necessarily attend. And so we got situated in the hotel, and then about an hour later, I had been trying to reach the specific person that Mikey wanted me to connect with and to hold the sign there, but I couldn't reach her. So we take off, and it was about 6 blocks from the hotel, and all you could see were flags, Bob. Just the American flag, you know, the Don't Tread on Me flag. I mean, there were like 400 people there. And I didn't see a Confederate flag, but during part of the stand, because I kept my eyes open, because it wasn't necessarily a peace stand, it was representing the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, I looked it out on all those flags, and all of a sudden they became so cohesive with the Confederate flag for some reason. And it just pierced me deeply, you know, just being present to all of that. But when my nephew was tired, so when he dropped me off, the first spot I couldn't get out because the trucks were there with American flags. And I said, no, I said, I can't step here. So we drove to another spot, and he parked the car. And I'm looking out on everything, and you can kind of hear the general chanting of things. And you can I definitely felt the energy. So I sat there for a second, and I went to pick up the boots. And he goes, are you going to get out, or what are you going to do? I said, well, give me just a second. And I kid you not, when I opened up that door, the sensation was almost what I would envision having to jump out of an airplane. And before I put my foot down, this came through my mind. It's like you don't even know how to open the parachute. It was an odd place to be. So he drove off, and I come on the sidewalk, and I'm walking down. So now I'm level with everyone with their flags, and, you know, we back the blue and, you know, Trump and all of that. And I'm looking, and I am flooded with a sense of trepidation, which was so foreign in all these years, you know, of standing for peace. And the phone rings, and it's Mikey. And talking to Mikey is kind of like talking to a litigator. He's real sharp, quick, to the point. And he goes, Jude, are you at the protest? I says, well, I said, I'm walking right now. And I said, this is what I see. And he probably maybe could hear in the tone of my voice some concern. And he had a smile in his tone. And he says, Jude, the reason that we had you go, you know, because of women standing, he says, we knew that you would do that. And I said, okay. So he said, make sure that you contact the lady in charge of it. And I says, well, I've tried twice and I haven't been able to reach her. He said, you need to find her. You need to stand with the sign and you need to get some photos. Well, you know, I was by myself. Not alone, but by myself. So I end up going past the police cars, and it's all barricaded, and you can hear the USA and all this stuff. And the only way that I can reach her is to find her. So I have to go into... Did you get the video sent of the crowd?
Yes.
I didn't. So that's where the sign and the boots, and we wove our way through that crowd. And we didn't bump shoulders. But I've been on 2 weeks. I'm just self-quarantining myself right now. But so I'm walking through all this, trying to get a sense of what, you know, where I'm supposed to go. And all of a sudden, up on the sidewalk is this group of young kids, and they're dressed in black, and they have, you know, the masks on their face, and they have signs, and it's the swastika with the circle and the red line through it. So I thought, maybe that's where she is. And part of the Trumpsters were beginning to engage with the other end of these young people. So I step up on the sidewalk, and I said, you know so-and-so? No, I haven't heard of her. And then I get farther down, and they hadn't either, so I had to step back and go into the group and things. And all of a sudden, I look over to the side, and I see these young men, probably in the middle 30s, just standing quietly. You know, they got assault rifles. I mean, the guys, not these fellows, but, you know, you had to go through people with the assault rifles, all that stuff that you see. Women with guns, you know, on their hips, and laughter. I mean, it was like just like that, almost a carnival kind of thing. And one of the things I had shared with Mikey when he asked me, I said, well, I said, you know, we will give it our best. And he said, I want you to remember you're going to be representing almost 70,000 service members that have come through here, and he talked about staff and such. So I picked up at that point that I would be traveling with Giants, and that just kept resonating over and over and over again.
That's cool.
So when I, it was amazing, Bob. It was truly amazing. So when I saw those young men, right away I thought Giants. So I was drawn over there, and then I looked at one of the signs, and it says, remember the Holocaust. And I said, I'm supposed to be here. And they open up, and I stand with them. And so we have this. There's like five of us. And I have these four wonderful Giants, grounded, the cleanest energy, focused. So not too terribly long after that, I thought maybe I would try to close my eyes and see if I could do Peace Man. No longer had I closed my eyes, this woman passes by. And she has in this really... I don't know, ugly, condescending tone. She goes, yeah, that's right. She says, you better close your eyes. I mean, I can't do it like that. You better close your eyes, and you keep them closed, you damn traitor, you. So I opened up my eyes, not startled, but just opened up my eyes. And she kind of walked on her way, and then they started having kind of a line in front of us with their signs. And but everyone just stood there quietly. Not too terribly long after that, the crowd kind of opens, and this older man comes up, and he's a Vietnam War vet, I'm assuming, because that's what's on his cap. And he's kind of a little unsteady, and he comes over, and he's got some palsy going on in his right hand. He's holding a soda bottle, and thought, well, this is curious. So he starts to my right, and he reads everyone's sign, comes to me, and then he goes down to the gentleman on my left, and then he comes back. And he stands in front of me about 2 feet away, and he looks down at the boots. And I thought for a second, honestly, Bob, because he was moving his mouth, I thought, please don't spit on the boots, which he didn't. And he steps back, and he looks at everyone, and then he looks at me again. He says, you all should be ashamed of yourself. You're just nothing but traitors. And it was like being in a vortex of nothingness, as much... vitriol that they had and how they engaged and everything. There was like nothing was there other than just all this physical manifestation. And later on I realized the group of us were standing kind of in a juxtaposition enfolding that young group. It was like a huge kind of circle. And I had already done a peace, you know, walk through the whole area. Well, I got a photo from Mikey, one of the fellows. I took one, and so when I get back, I get this. I end up finding out the young man that I first had broached to the left of me is an associate professor out of Whitman College there. It's a liberal college. And through that connection, he's made with Mikey, which, you know, there's a lot of things going on. If I would have found Tracy, oh, that was her name. Well, that's okay because Tracy's a wonderful name. If I would have found that young woman, I don't know if all that kind of connection would have happened as quickly. I mean, it probably would down the road. Now I found out a week ago today that Whitman College has withdrawn all of the privileges for the Walla Walla Police Department, which is like their gym, their grounds to be able to do exercises and things because of what's going on with that officer. And on top of that, the city council, because I have subscribed to the union bulletin, yesterday they had a closed session regarding a city employee and litigation that's going on. So it has had a life of its own.
Yeah.
A life of its own. Isn't that cool?
Well,
so it's, you know, in the midst.
It sounds like you accomplished your goal. And by you, you plural.
Yes, yes, very, very much so. And just to wonderful people. I mean, there's a, you know, it was the Jewish community down there and people that had, you know, kind of a mindset to realize that, I mean, it's like going into Mayberry, you know, the old Mayberry with Barney and all of them. It's clean and perfect. Nothing's higher than maybe two stories. But it's very, very sanitized.
Go ahead.
Very sanitized. Very, very sanitized. And, So I'm offering this from Mikey Weinstein and the foundation. This is just a component of the work that they do, and it's so much broader than in all these years that I had realized. And you know, when you start getting a, it's a small city council, but it's, you know, it's being witness to things, actual, you know, in actual real life time. And that's so much of what Women Standing has done, is going to places. It, and it's not that tremendous changes can be done, but, you know, Nicole Sandler said something one time when we were talking about this. She said, it's like you open, you connect or you open a vortex there. And that's symbolic of exactly what it feels like. You know, when you have individuals aligning at certain times and really focus, and it doesn't have to be, you know, because so often people think it's kind of a, I don't know what individual, to be honest with you, think about it, but to go out and to be able to be present and then have other connections like lights moving from one spot of the country to another, that is extremely powerful. And it cannot be denied because there's so much, wonderful things, things that typically wouldn't happen unless people choose to connect in this, you know, in this certain kind of way with each other.
Well, Jude, I know, right. I know that you didn't interact much with the other side, nor what I have expected or wanted you to. But mm-hmm. you know, they were there supporting the cops or whatever. Did they not realize that that Schutzstaffel is a Nazi emblem, and that when you get it tattooed on you, it what it means?
Well, the two people that engaged with the fellow next to me, because he had reached over me, he says, "Do you think we're ever going to have be able to have time to have some kind of an intellectual discussion?" I says, "You know, I don't know." I said, I really didn't know. But there were two individuals that did come over, and one was a woman, and she happened to be a friend of the police officer's wife. And she recognized him because of some kind of church interaction and such. And they had a really probing conversation, and she kept reiterating. She said, "So-and-so is a good friend of mine." And the young man was so articulate and so clear. He said, "You have to realize," he said, "it might not be the person, it's the symbol." He said, "Do you understand what the symbol is?" She didn't know. And she probably...
She flat out didn't know what that SS was.
No, she said, I don't know if she knew that, you know, that's what came out of her mouth. And he pointed to the sign and he says, "The Holocaust." And she goes, "The Holocaust." So it was almost like they were like removed in another period of time, you know, so it was really bizarre. And then another fellow came up and, you know, was trying to go on about how he was Jewish and, you know, the Holocaust never happened. And, you know, that kind of interaction, there's no... You know, like
when it comes to the right wing, these things do bring out the Lulus.
Yeah, it was, but that was the, there weren't any Nazi symbols or anything displayed. But, you know, these were, the majority of people were well into their 50s, you know, if not 60s. You know, that photo that I, the video that I sent of that, he was a biker that had that jacket on. He kept blowing that horn.
Yeah.
Because every time that group was trying to engage in any kind of discussion, because at first I asked Nico, I says, "Is that some kind of military equipment?" Because it just reached this piercing level. And I thought, man. He said, "No." He says, "It's some kind of horn." And that just kept going on. You know, and there were bikers there. We had there was a group that had the "Do Not Tread on Me" sign. And the guy, you know, full bellied and nothing about full belly, but just that whole presentation, like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, really. I know exactly. You know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, the gun on him and hold it, all that kind of stuff. When it came time to leave, everybody pretty much split up. The fellows asked if they wanted me to, you know, walk. I said, "No," I said, "I'm fine." And there's about eight of them on the sidewalk, and I'm coming down, and the flags are waving and doing all this stuff, and I had the sign under my right arm, and then, which was a beautiful sign. That was, you know, very, it was a night, it was really a, they did a, Mikey's advertising firm did a very succinct job, but it was difficult to hold something that had the word hate in it. That was my biggest difficulty, that the women and I worked trying to, you know, because, you know, do you understand?
I do.
But usually, yeah, just standing there. But when I started walking, they ended up parting. "Oh, she's got the boots. Step aside." you know, they understood that for some reason. It was, but anyway, so now it goes, you know, now, you know, the litigation process, because neither, I hope they're not coming for me, Bob. Did you hear the sirens?
Well, we got your bail covered if they are, Jude.
Okay. Yeah. Just, I forgot what I was going to say, but they just got kind of loud here. Well, gosh, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome anytime, Jude. You know that.
Well, I appreciate it. I wish I could. I wish more people would want to connect. So I often wonder if maybe when I put things out that it, you know, maybe doesn't kind of settle right. But there's so much. You know, I've reconnected with Kevin, and then I've been with Juanita for years and years and years, which has been
how is Juanita delightful. Doing?
Oh, they got a lot going on. They got a lot going on. They're starting that experience with that sand stuff. You know, coming in from the desert.
Yeah.
And she's been in and out of the hospital, and Charles has had difficulty, but oh my gosh. But she's still gracious, warm. She's a wonderful listener. You know,
no, she's a deer. She's an absolute deer.
A mighty warrior, and references you, and especially Ferg. She has this real tender spot for Ferg.
That warms my heart.
So with that, well, if I'll just hang on and listen for a while longer.
Sure, sure. We'll.
Everyone.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time left in the program. Feel free. I'll leave your pot up, and if you want to chime in with the rest of the conversation, that'd be wonderful.
Thanks for taking the time to travel. To travel there with us. I really appreciate it, and I could feel the presence of. I can feel the presence of it, Bob.
Irresistible from writer-director John.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure. And sorry about that. For some reason or another, auto-run audio is just giving me fits this evening. It just starts up with no rhyme or reason.
I feel comfortable.
And as we've been talking, I've been watching some of this protest footage. Sparky gave me the link. From Unicorn Riot, and the cops are arrayed in their phalanx, and they got cops up on the hillside, and so far it's pretty peaceful. But you know, there's a gang of clustered COVIDiots down by the side of the road with their Trump flag, and of course, you know, South Dakota is very maggoty, and they've got the governor to prove it. Sorry about muting y'all again. That auto-run audio started, and I tried to make it go away as quickly as I could.
Hey Jude, I wanted to ask, how far away from Walla Walla do you live?
Well, it's about 5 hours, so it's like 200 and something. Yeah, it's an exquisite drive.
200 miles away?
Probably about, that's about a five-hour drive, yeah. I live in just outside of Seattle, and Walla Walla is down kind of southeast, close to the border of Oregon. Yeah, a lot of farmland.
Right. Great wine, mm-hmm. Great wineries there. I've been to a few.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. One we found because we had dinner just to kind of get one's bearings again was North Star with a glass of wine that I had. It was a Merlot, and it was really a beautiful wine. But I looked on their website, and it's like $80 a bottle.
Ouch!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not that's not that, you know, it's like a buddy of mine used to say, if the boys under the bridge can't screw the cap off, I ain't drinking it. So,
well, the thing was, it's not Ripple, Bob.
So, a long time ago, I guess my freshman year in college, I read a wonderful book by an author named Tom Robbins called Still Life with Woodpecker. And Walla Walla features briefly in it, and he says that it's an area known for its onion farms. Is that still the case?
Wow, I'm not sure. We went through a lot of, but you know, I was preparing, so I looked at things but didn't collect them. you know, to my memory. There's a lot of fruit farms, with, you know.
He created a fictional farm called the Walla Walla Crimea River Onion Farm.
Bob.
They grow a lot of onions there.
Yeah, they do. There's a Walla Walla onion cultivar even named after Walla Walla. So they do grow.
The Walla Walla Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're beautiful. Yeah, I
also mentioned in the book.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The one thing that we saw coming back out, which I wanted to do a piece on, was it also houses the Walla Walla State Penitentiary. And it's really interesting because it was so similar to Clint Custom and Border, where the children are. It's surrounded by, you know, homes and things, and it just, cause since it's flat land, and when you exit the bridge, the freeway kind of turns into a bridge. And so you can look out on all of that. All my visions now, when I'm in places, go back to, you know, where we have been and how much more we are all aligned, even in, you know, really devastating things like detention camps and prisons.
You remind me in mentioning that, Jude, there's a profound call for releasing people from these concentration camps because COVID is getting worse and worse and worse in them.
Yes.
Haven't even heard a whisper about that, Bob.
I know, but I mean, I see it fairly frequently. But you're right; it's off the national radar. And when Jude mentioned it, that's why I brought it up. It needs the attention.
Well, here's another thing. One of my daughters has been working in a homeless shelter, and that's becoming, which, you know, it's just these. There's so much on the macro level. But when we get down into the micro level, it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, I had a long talk with her last night. She was grieving. All the residents that have come into this homeless shelter, no one's wearing their mask. And I said, well, you're in a position, you know, go to the head and find out. I said, are you wearing one? She said, yes. But, all you know, here they are broken, you know, coming out of all sorts of situations. There's just so much to it. It just is, you know, so heavy. So when I come from the premise finding things that we collectively can do with each other, you know, just like when I sent in that email to ask, you know, those that wanted to,
right,
just for an hour, just align with that, to me it does tremendous things. Because now Mikey's got a whole support group of something that happened because of all of us. You know, we're like a chain link. Each one does something different. And, you know,
and he's done good and valuable work for a long time.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so.
We wouldn't know to nearly the degree that we do the theocratization of the American military if it were not for Mikey Weinstein and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they just recently got swastikas taken off headstones on military, well, not military bases, but in
did they remove the swastikas? Because at one point I saw where they said, nah, we're not going to do that.
No, they got, I don't know if they've been removed, but they finally got, you know, from the top level in the Pentagon, so I don't know how that's going to come about, and I haven't paid attention in the past few weeks. And it's just like with that police officer down in Walla Walla, he was part of the, the Marine Sniper Group. And back in 2012, the foundation took a, I don't know what they call it, group of individuals, you know, service members together when they're out, and troop or whatever. They had the American flag. It was somewhere in Afghanistan. They had the American flag, and then underneath it, they had the dark purple with the two SS lightning bolts on it. Well, someone had taken a photo, and it worked its way to the foundation. Well, within 48 hours, you know, the Marines came out, and then all of the services finally came out denouncing that to have. Now, here's an officer. I mean, here's a police officer with that on as a former Marine. And his premise is that they got those because it was to honor one of their sniper fellow members that was shot and killed. I mean, what kind of strange, convoluted thinking is that? It just, So, you know,
Jude, have you seen the new Trump logo for 2020? The campaign logo? Tell me that tell me that ain't the Nazi eagle holding the 2020 in its talons, just like the Nazi eagle.
No, I haven't seen that one. No, I haven't.
Yeah, take a look at it.
It is straight up Nazi iconography, Jude.
There you go.
Oh. Well, have you seen the one that has come out? He's got this, it was on his Twitter account. It came out, it's all darkened around him, and they have him at an angle where the photo is taken that his face is shadowed. I mean, it looks just absolutely demonic. But he put that as something, they're not after me, they're after you. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, and what's curious is that meme that he put out has precisely 14 words. And again, because Nazis are all about word counts and numbers and numerology and various and sundry hateful, evil crap, 14 words is real big in Nazi circles.
Wasn't there
Bob,
a
I know
famous,
about the 8-8, but what's the 14 mean, Bob?
There's a phrase. Here, let me make sure I just get this right and be done with it.
8-8-8 is Heil Hitler.
Right, 8-8 is HH is Heil Hitler.
Yeah.
The 14 words is the white supremacist slogan, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children." And so by having 14 words in that meme, it was a nudge and a wink to the Nazis that he's still their boy.
Yeah. You know, he's making it, it's harder and harder for him to keep that veil on, that, you know, to walk that line. It's getting more and more overt.
And
but,
see,
Scott, you were going to say something, Scott.
Well, yeah, wasn't there a famous photograph of Hitler where part of it's just his head, his face, part of it's in shadow and part of it is, you know, clearly seen?
I think you're remembering the cover to Meet the Beatles, Scott.
Oh, come on. No, I know I'm not thinking Meet the Beatles.
The
Beatles, when they were
video.
Starting,
yeah.
did play
Click
in Hamburg,
That's
Germany.
That's a video. Yeah.
And talking about 14 words and 88, remember, back in mid-June, Facebook pulled ads from the Trump re-election campaign. There was an inverted red triangle, which was the symbol the Nazis used to designate communists, Freemasons, people who helped Jews in concentration camps. And the ad itself had 14 words. And a total of 88 ads were purchased by the campaign to run on Facebook. So they're not trying to hide it. They know who they have to motivate. It's just like Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis down in Florida. Sure, when they started doing robocalls, when the Nazis started doing robocalls, he's like, "Oh, I definitely disavow the Nazis." He disavowed them, but they didn't stop, and he today is only governor because he received sufficient support from Nazis, real live, honest to God, no kidding Nazis, to put him over the top.
Well, Bob, I remember on your program, you played the robocall.
Yeah.
And it was the, like, Al Jolson fucking, it was disgusting. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Right. And it inured to the benefit of Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis.
And some of them were from Idaho, too, I remember.
That is exactly where they were from, Irwin.
Yeah.
Shit.
And it would be an interesting thing to go back through his campaign disclosures, because that's kind of an in-kind donation to his campaign. Unless, laws over about PACs being what they are, maybe not so much. But there we go. Well, everybody, it's time to blow out of here. Of course, the back porch conversation will continue after the program. If you're interested, I gotta get things uploaded and go out and check on the cooking and the carrying on for the Independence Day feasting over the weekend. Thanks everybody for joining in. Thanks to all of you who got us down to a clean slate this evening. So that we can begin afresh on Monday. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going with your kind contributions, a la carte or subscription at PayPal or Patreon, combination of all of the above or some of the above. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And remember, if you shop at Amazon, please use smile.amazon.com and nominate Coal River Mountain Watch as the beneficiary of a portion of your proceeds. If a lot of us do that, it makes a huge difference to a grassroots organization like CRMW. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please remember, stay home if you can. This is getting worse, not better, this Trump pandemic. It's not going to be over soon. It's not going to disappear. There aren't going to be any miracles. The only way we beat it is by staying home as much as possible, using our masks and our gloves, washing our hands frequently, not touching our faces. Try not to touch other stuff if you can help it. And for God's sakes, if you see somebody with a maggot hat on or a Trump T-shirt or anything Trumpy about them, or even if they're just garbling and smollicking and LARPing their way down Action Alley at Wally World toward you, avoid them like the plague, because they are. Have a wonderful Independence Day weekend, everybody. Later.